What's poppin'? It's a whole new week of the Drew and Mike Show. And by God, we've still got football.
Wow, yeah.
Man, do we have football.
Man, it's exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting XFL action with the New York Guardians and the Dallas... What's the Dallas team's name?
You seriously think anybody down here knows?
They were suggesting that the Dallas team is so strong it was a potential dynasty on the broadcast.
Their quarterback's hurt, and I only know that from listening to way too much XFL audio.
The Dallas Renegades.
I got a lot left. First of all, I rather enjoyed it. I mean, I'm not really ragging on the XFL, and I kind of like the crazy stuff they do, like the goofy kickoff.
Oh, I hated the kickoff.
Well, I don't like that they're acting as if, you know, they're real CTE concerned when actually they're, don't they believe you should hit, that the NFL's kind of a pussy league and you can hit harder in the XFL?
Well, they had that one pass that went over the middle and the guy just lit up the wide receiver, which is a foul and, you know, penalty in the NFL because it's a, what do they call it, defenseless receiver?
Right, they don't
no
do
flag.
That.
And then we saw, remember that one we saw, the guy ran around the end and just got... just leveled from each way.
Yeah, he got crushed. That was all during the MVP chance, 5 minutes into the season.
So, yeah, more concussions happen on the kickoff, but let's not act like the XFL is concussion-free.
XFL.
Well, they said something about they're trying to avoid long-distance running concussions or something, weird phrase I've never heard.
No, they made it up. See, they make up the XFL as they go along, Drew.
But then if they're trying to eliminate that on the kickoff, then why are they trying to increase it on the regular plays?
To make
are they
up,
just evening to, it out?
They're making up for what they lose on the kickoffs.
Oh.
Shouldn't the nicknames of the teams be like the yes and the okays?
Definitely.
Whatever you say. Because nobody knows these teams. They're acting like everybody knows who these teams are.
It's the inaugural season, Mark. Have faith.
How many teams can you name?
I still don't know the WNBA teams. I mean, when I found out there was a team named the Mystic, I was like, what? There's a team named the Mystic? And they were in the championship.
Well, isn't there the Aces, Las Vegas Aces?
Is that Anna? Is that you, XFL?
No, that's women's.
I think that's Bill Laimbeer's team.
I was going to say, I only know because they're the ones that didn't play because of the long flight.
Oh, yeah, because they don't get the same travel arrangements as the NBA players because they're sexist.
Do you remember TC's bit when the WNBA was first announced in like 96 and he had all the names?
I have a pretty good idea where it went.
The one that stuck with me was the Detroit Pissin' Sittin' Downs. Because it was a play on all the nicknames. They were really good. That was a really creative one, though.
I really don't mind the no coin toss and the crazy extra point, although I haven't seen the... Is it a 10-yard one where you get 3 points?
Yeah.
10 yards.
Has anyone done that yet?
No.
I mean, I like that. I don't mind that stuff. I like them interviewing people I like the interviews immediately after fuck-ups.
Yeah, because...
It should be they should call it interviews after fuck-ups, only in the XFL.
Yeah, here's one of them, yeah.
There's just a lot of chatter after play. We're trying to make some stuff happen, and they're doing a little extra pushing and shoving. We're trying to get our fucking job done. They're just...
Oh, F-bombs. The XFL uses F-bombs, which the NFL doesn't use, which I like.
We all love player actualities after the game and before the game because they always give you so much insight. So let's add more of them saying nothing during the game.
I'm here with Ty Rosso, the kicker. I know you haven't kicked in a meaningful game in about 2-3 years.
Did you just miss the 35-yarder?
Yes. So you're going to get another chance.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of, what's your mentality going forward?
Right now, I just got to go back to basics. Just try to rush it. That was all it was. I was trying to do too much. I just got to simple it down and just do my job.
I cannot believe that woman would ask that question.
How do you try to do too much?
How dare you try to tarnish my motherfucking homeboy's reputation, punk motherfucker?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Why
like
y'all attacking us?
I'm a fan of that
it's
team.
So defensive. But I like the way, you know.
You say it, bro.
They've got some unique sponsorships. They sponsor the Game Flow. Game Flow, today's Game Flow, brought to you by...
What is the Game Flow?
They show highlights that happened up to that point to show you how it got to be, 20-13 or whatever.
Yeah.
But I've never...
Just like the Washington Mutual one that they do, or college football?
Yeah, it's basically highlights to this point, but they call it Game Flow, and they sponsor it.
Is it sponsored by Prudential with Flow from Prudential?
No. Man. No, it was not.
Read that again.
The endless efforts to connect us to the players, like, you know this guy? He was on nine NFL teams. And I'm like, nine NFL? There's a guy that was on nine NFL teams, and I didn't know who he was.
I know. Do we have any of those clips we pulled, Brandon?
You know, they're not broken down, but I have a ton of audio from it. Ton of audio.
Yeah, I think there's enough material for three or four promos that the league has asked us to do. So we're looking forward to that. The crowd noise is piped up so high that there were the first game I saw, there were some big plays where you could not hear the announcers because the crowd's mic's so loud. I mean, you could hear them, but just barely.
I know they asked one of the guys on the sideline, what's it like playing in front of a packed house of 20,000?
That's packed? Well, they were in a 20,000 stadium?
Well, first off, it wasn't packed. It's the soccer stadium, I think, in Houston.
It holds 22,000.
But you're talking about people, presumably, that played at some pretty big universities that hold way more than 20,000.
Yeah.
Actually, the guy they were talking to was the guy from Va-Tech.
Cam Phillips?
Do you think Cam Phillips was that impressed by a half-full 20,000 seat stadium?
No, he played in front of 70,000 many times.
Who's that dude?
He played in all the ACC venues. He played at Clemson.
Yeah.
So I don't think that would have been... That would have seemed like a small crowd for Cam.
Listen to the crowd, completely mic'd up, boosted, goosed, if you will. This is 3.5 minutes into the XFL season.
Well, I like the coaches calling the plays too. I like hearing that. And I don't know why.
They flip at the Pumphrey.
Who?
Takes a big smack at
the names are the funniest part.
MVP chance.
Who are they cheering for?
It's 0-0.
That Cardale Jones.
Did he make some great plays?
I didn't see.
He looked pretty good. I thought that. Now that was the one guy I latched on.
Hot take. Looked pretty good, I thought. That's the best thing you can say about the XFL.
I remember in Ohio State, he had that miracle three games.
I remember his infamous tweet that said, "We don't come here to play school."
I remember that, too. And is that...
You need to leave.
Did he go right... Did he go right to the NFL after that three games, or did he...
Yeah, I believe so. After he won the national championship.
Right. Yeah. But he was the third string quarterback. He'd only started three games.
Yeah.
So his NFL career was very brief, but I really knew who he was because of the games he played in that were so big. So I was kind of pumped to see him, and I thought he was
him young Tom Brady.
I thought he was very talented too. I was surprised. I kind of felt like, you know, he should have stayed and started for a full year and then gone to the NFL. But you know, you can't do it over again. So
he wasn't there to play school.
Here's the XFL to, you know, provide some competition for him to keep his career alive. So
to that,
hey, it's the quarterback, the good looking fucking piece of shit who sucks.
I was doing a deep dive on some guy. Let me see if I can find his name because I already forgot. But
there was a lot of deep diving going on my phone during the game.
I can't find his name. Well, first off, there was a Joe Horn. I'm like, is that the Joe Horn? And Brandon goes,
great guy.
He's 48. It's not that Joe Horn.
Okay, well, I did the same thing with Ricky Prohl. I thought, Ricky Prohl's in this league. And I was kind of excited because, and get this, I talked to two other people, one of whom said, did you see Ricky Prohl got a touchdown?
Ricky Prohl's 51 years old.
I know. It's his son, right?
It is.
Yeah, and the other guy said, I thought that was Ricky Prohl, but I found out it was his son. So that was... pretty common.
There was I was watching a pregame report from the hotel of the Houston somethings, and they were talking about, you know, this defensive back Kenny Robinson, and he's going to make his pro football debut. And
wait. Why did they have to do a pregame report from the hotel?
Great guy.
Because they get all the information first at the hotel.
But we don't haven't even seen the team play yet.
The Holiday Inn.
How do we even know he was at? He could have been in front of a green screen.
Could have been in any hotel. And nobody would know.
They were great. So I'm gonna find that audio after I tell you what happened. So he starts talking about the great defensive back Kenny Robinson and how he's this is his first pro game, and if he was still in college, he'd be a junior.
He'd be a junior.
West Virginia. And I'm like, okay, what happened to Kenny Robinson?
Wait, can I ask a question first, just to clarify? So he would have just finished his sophomore year if he went straight from West Virginia. Can you go straight from your freshman or sophomore year to the XFL?
He is the first player with college eligibility remaining to enter the inaugural XFL draft. So I don't know if that meant he was
XFL draft.
Which was,
stop it.
Well, they had it. I don't know.
I know. It's so silly.
Now, I don't know if that means he was, you know, 3 years and then would have been a junior, like a redshirt.
I can't believe Connor Cook wasn't a lottery pick. Someone's saying that somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Probably in East Lansing.
So this Robinson guy was dismissed from the program back in June due to academic violation of the student code of conduct.
Oh, he cheated.
And transfers need to be in good academic standing to be eligible at the new school. So he said, you know what, I'm just going to go to the XFL.
Oh, and they implied that this guy's so talented, he's coming out early to play in the XFL, something he can't do in the NFL.
I thought it was very poor reporting for that guy to not tell us that live from the team hotel.
Can't do that in the NFL. So he decided to try his hand at the XFL so he can get paid. How can you blame him?
This was part of the XFL pregame show on YouTube, which now is up to 25,000 views. It's doing great.
Was there any indication to the WWE or anything like that? If you're some liar!
Nothing. Not that
what
I saw.
We're now looking forward to today. Two epic battles.
What?
Oh, two epic battles?
Already
there's already
live
been
from MetLife Stadium.
And speaking of today's game, let's check in with our own Andrew Brill.
Andrew Brill's on the beat.
The New York Guardians team hotel. Hi, Andrew.
Thanks, Elise. I'm here at the Guardians Hotel where
the giant sign behind him that says "Go Guardians" and all
please,
I can think
please
of.
Please play more.
You know they're in New York, so there's other people staying at the hotel. Do you think they're wondering, oh, is the Guardians like a high school lacrosse team?
I would imagine 95% of the people had no idea what that meant, which
guys
makes it easier
to
do your thing.
They tell me they're anxious to get this one started because they know the odds makers have made them the only home underdog in the first week of the XFL season. Now, head coach Kevin Gilbride has his offensive players ready
before.
To rock and
he
roll.
Punched,
expect them to
did he punch somebody on the sideline?
He did.
Was it, wait, I want to say it was the guy in Atlanta, Jerry Glanville?
Well, that's funny.
Did they get into it? Is that a fucking burp?
No. No, it's a punch.
No, there was a burp before the punch.
I think it's a poorly clipped one.
Can we fucking get rid of that piece of shit?
That's a terrible punch.
God, I hate burps.
That's
like I'm in Millersville, Tennessee, or back at Road Oak.
That's funny you mentioned Jerry Glanville, because he is currently Kevin Gilbride's defensive coordinator at age 98.
He's 98?
Or I don't know how old he is.
Oh, okay.
I think he's like 78.
No, I kind of believed it. And, you know, I think this doesn't bode well for a league when three people thought Ricky Prohl caught a touchdown pass and were perfectly fine with believing it. I mean, literally, none of us had any ifs, ands, or buts. Well, how about that Ricky Prohl's out there still? And we thought that it was absolutely credible that he did it.
That's a great point. Where's Mike Williams and Roy Williams, the former Lions receivers?
Nobody cares.
Why aren't they out there?
Wait. Who's...
Wouldn't you rather... Come on. Wouldn't you rather, instead of... This is like AAA minor league pro football, right? I mean, we all know that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather see a senior circuit of ex-NFL players?
I would. I seriously would.
Just rife with CTE out there playing.
Rife with CTE.
Just totally confused. Instead of the play clock being shorter, they make it twice as long.
You know what? That's the problem, is you need guys you're excited about. You got to have – that's why Johnny Manziel should be in this league.
Yeah.
It's insane that he's not in this league.
Antonio
Colin
Brown.
Kaepernick should be in this league. I don't think – I think, seriously, I bet the weekend ratings are going to be good, and there's going to be a lot of, oh, my God, the XFL is great. And all I can say is check the ratings in 6 weeks. If they're still really good – they have something going. Remember, I just think it's going to be a lose interest.
Remember the American Legion Football League that just folded? Their first weekend had great ratings. And I liked the gameplay watching that.
The American AAF? Legion Football
yeah.
League?
I didn't mind that first game.
You're talking about the AAF?
Whatever the new one was.
Yeah.
What's the American Legion Football League?
I don't know what. I didn't remember what the league was called. Whatever the
AAF.
The Alliance of American Football.
Same difference.
Lasted 10 weeks.
Yeah.
I seriously thought that there was an American Legion Football League that I missed.
Oh, for kids?
Well, no, that just went really fast. It failed quickly.
Well, that's why Johnny Football won't join it. He says, I'm not going to just join a league that's going to fold.
Okay, so just sit there and do nothing.
Oh, yeah, he's holding a lot of cards.
can we go back to Andrew Brill's report live from the hotel?
Oh, yes, absolutely. No, I insist on it. It's not a sports podcast. We're really evaluating a new media entity.
I'm really, well, and to
we're
that
not
point.
Not doing X and O's.
To that point, I think it's pretty biased reporting that he's wearing a New York Guardians pullover while doing this report.
Who the fuck is that?
Even if he is from their hotel.
Very unprofessional.
Made them the only home underdog in the first week of the XFL season. Now, head coach Kevin Gilbride has his offensive players ready to rock and roll. Expect them to pound the rock with Tim Cook and Darius Victor. Then let Matt McGloin use some play action to get the ball downfield to his playmakers. Defensively,
Tim Cook
Coach
is doing
Jim
this
Herman
aside from
he's
Apple.
Got the big guys up front to stop
the
run,
same Tim Cook.
Make Aaron Murray and the Vipers one dimensional, then use his secondary,
Apple.
Which he believes can cover
Aaron
one
Murray.
On one,
so that's the guy from the extra guys Bachelor's the brother, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That's right.
These guys are ready to go. They tell me they've had a very good breakfast.
They had a very good breakfast.
Wait, we're evaluating their meals.
That's the in-depth reporting you're gonna get.
I want more.
What's up?
Is there more
breakfast
later today? 5 p.m. Eastern on ESPN.
St. Louis Battlehawks facing off against the Dallas Renegades
this is
at Global Life Park in Arlington,
league?
Texas.
She's very
so let's
Abby.
Check in with Zan Piarly at the St. Louis Battlehawks Hotel. Hi, Zan.
Can I help you?
Thanks, Elise. We're going to focus in on 21-year-old safety Kenny Robinson from the Battlehawks today.
What's
playing
with the
his
hotels?
First pro game and his first football game in over a year. He should have just finished up his junior year at West Virginia and said he decided to come to the XFL and start his pro career.
Why?
And
he said, wait, he knew it was coming before the league knew it was coming?
Has been so
what's that?
He knew the league was coming before the, because he should be finishing his junior
He would have just finished his junior year, but he got kicked out last June. But he doesn't tell us why he got kicked out.
But he acts as if, like, this guy saw the XFL coming, and he, because the XFL would have been announced before his season, but it wouldn't have been
yeah, I mean, the XFL
in motion.
It was announced 2 years ago. He was probably counting the days until he could enter.
I'd be saying, why didn't you play the season your junior year? Then you're eligible for the NFL draft, too, and you could see how that went.
Sure.
Before you went to the XFL, but we know that he flunked out.
Yes.
Which the reporter apparently doesn't.
Because of his counterpart in the secondary, veteran Will Hill. He said that Hill's aggression on the field every day just makes him want to become a better player and play to his fullest potential. And now today they'll be tasked with stopping Dallas's air raid offense, which will be led by Philip Nelson, getting the start over the injured.
I mean, seriously, you could say Brandon McAfee and it would have the same effect.
Thank you, Zan. We're looking forward to that game. St. Louis Battlehawks and the Dallas Renegades, they get in it. And remember, you can
is this amusing? Because I'm having a ball.
I'm very amused by it. And I've watched way too much of it.
Can I hear more of her, please?
Sure.
I'm glad she has a job. I mean, don't get me wrong.
It's pandering.
For more information and everything coming your way, visit XFL.com.
Can I help you?
Why would we need more information?
Oh, she's going to legitimize it here because a lot of pro football players really liked it.
Up to speed, in the game, and on the go. You follow?
They have her on the social media beat.
Love of football.
Oh.
Download, subscribe.
That's a hot job in a new league.
My favorite part of the show, the social aspect. You guys were loud
this is
our
first
on Twitter
show.
Last night during the day. It was exciting.
How does she know her favorite part already?
Hashtag for the love of football.
They workshopped it.
You're a little bit too excited for social media. I was busy watching the game and doing like the meat and potatoes.
You say it,
and I didn't have time for Twitter. I didn't have time.
I was tweeting about the meat and potatoes and the excitement. That's my job. That's my
the
job.
Chemistry between these two.
Really good.
I guarantee you they're going
to
fuck.
Imagine we three.
Take a look at your tweet. Torrey Smith. Wide receiver in the NFL for years. I really enjoyed the XFL today. Wow.
Boom. He's a big time endorser. He's had a lot of
Torrey
big time
Smith.
He's been a lot
is that
of
the Ravens guy?
In the National Football
That's
League.
A name.
So
he really enjoyed the XFL.
Like that was
boom.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was a sentiment from a lot of fans. I'm happy to have football back. Our long national nightmare is over. Football is finally back today.
What's technically a long national nightmare? 6 days?
6 days.
That's okay. We appreciate the sentiment, but
it's a joke because that's from PFT Commenter.
This one's massive. Read it to us.
J.J. Watt just turned on the XFL. Kicker missed a field goal, and they immediately interviewed him on the sideline asking what happened. Ha-ha, that's tough.
We're talking about an all-pro. We're talking about a future Hall of Famer. We're talking about one of the greatest defensive ends to ever play football.
We're evaluating
football.
The fans?
Yeah, because they play, they play in the real league.
And then somebody went to interview him. Yeah. Stop it. Stop it.
And this is huge.
Wow.
Chris Collinsworth, elite analyst Sunday Night Football. I like the XFL. Coaches I respect. Big plays, fresh rules, and a professional broadcast. Congrats, guys.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot of big-time names in the XFL. Don't forget today, Bob Stoops, a part of the Dallas.
Wait, he's saying this broadcast is good?
Yeah.
I think he lost some credibility there. And
I'm glad they enjoyed it.
It sounds like they really have a self-image problem, the fact that they need all these people to sort of verify their importance.
Brandon, you had the point that you, Brandon, actually wondered if some of these people were paid.
Yeah, in a sense, because I saw media like, you know, Barstool, and they were tweeting out all these different clips of highlights and saying, oh, this is great. I'm just curious if they tossed a couple bucks to a few accounts and said, hey, say something nice about us. And it's smart of them.
Is Barstool saying nice things?
Well, not Portnoy, but the entire Portnoy said this league's going to – they're going to fold.
Because they are.
But the actual website itself is cranking out content. And then additionally, you see them using the J.J. Watts and the Chris Collinsworth. It's actually kind of smart. You're telling people, hey, look, these people are legit, and they like it.
Well, maybe J.J. wants a paycheck in the offseason.
Ooh.
So I wouldn't blame him.
Yeah, he could do commentary. I mean, he never plays anymore.
All right. It's not a sports podcast. We acknowledge that. But this is a new, exciting thing. So we'll try and move on. There's one other sports item that's very important. There's a little controversy surrounding the Michigan defeat of Michigan State, both on my Twitter.
Wrong.
And also in real life. Some serious business.
Huh.
Valentine's Day is coming up. Boy, it is coming up, isn't it?
Yeah. Way too fast.
Ooh. Get your sweetheart.
I want you two to kiss each other.
Get your sweetheart in the mood with a gift from Lover's Lane. Three ways to shop for all your bedroom essentials. Loverslane.com, 35 retail locations, and the all-new sexdrive.com for the hottest stuff even Cupid can't get his hands on. I just saw Lover's Lane. I found out that they really don't advertise a ton on radio TV, so this is a big deal. It's kind of like the Live Nation thing.
Yeah.
Pretty cool to get them
good
on.
Company. But, I mean, they've been around forever, too.
You like my way brighter?
But they were on, were they on during the XFL, possibly? Did they run a spot?
It sounds like a match made in heaven, though.
There was, they were somewhere, anyway. Featuring,
that fixed it.
If you go to Lover's Lane, or you do utilize them, and you heard on, mention us. There's no promo code. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to get a mention, because we become a significant part of their marketing. Featuring quality sex toys, vibrators, and fun and exciting toys for couples. Sex Drive also has an incredible selection of erotic apparel and naughty gift ideas. Perfect for Valentine's. Shop early. Visit sexdrive.com, powered by Lover's Lane. And I'll quickly ask, is there something on the Hall Financial hotline today?
Yeah, Stan.
Stan!
It's Sunday. This is probably the only day we can catch him where he's not at work.
Great idea. Plus, there's a new league to evaluate.
Exactly.
He tends to like the NFL's off-brands.
Yeah.
With the CFL.
And I just did see that on the Facebook fan page, they're floating around pictures of Stan.
What?
Really? What's he look like?
Oh, we've seen the picture before. I'll show
Are they
you.
Being nice?
Oh, yeah. They're just saying, hey, this is what Stan looks like.
Who doesn't love Stan? Seriously. While you're looking for that,
a guy named Coach Dave, and he wants to sue the NFL for the halftime show.
Oh, I saw that. Oh, you have his phone number.
We do. That's 100% his number.
What's isn't he suing them for $867 trillion?
Of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trillion.
And he was injured by the halftime.
His boner. His boner hurt himself.
No, didn't he say, seriously, that his children were harmed by it?
Well, I don't know if you're confusing that guy that was tweeting to Terry Foster, and then someone responded that your son just blew the biggest load.
Not that guy. Yeah. Not that guy. By the way, Gabrielle Union is suing America's Got Talent because of the harmful environment. She says her health may have been compromised because Simon Cowell smoked when they weren't shooting.
Good luck with that one.
Isn't that?
Aren't there going to be a bunch of pictures of her like smoking as an actress? Like, right?
Is she not getting enough attention for her complaints? Because Terry Crews kind of shot her down and then he apologized. There's certain people that you cannot question.
No. She's one of them. Because she also has D. Wade on her side.
Well, she's female and she's black, and she's saying that she was treated poorly for both of those things. So I think the feeling is that you cannot question her. And Terry Crews had said that I'm being treated very well by America's Got Talent, and I'm not sure what went on. I mean, he really didn't say anything horrible. He apologized for it.
He just said what his experience is.
Right. Why should he not be able to say that without apologizing?
Because who did he jump? He jumped all over somebody that's like, you need to understand other people's experiences. And so people just threw that back in his face.
You know, I'm going to say this. I was reading yesterday, getting off the track of Hall Financial, but and Stan's picture. But yesterday I saw a story about how AOC's white boyfriend.
We need to go through that whole story. It's quite funny.
L.O.B. Can somebody read the headline?
Yeah, I got it here.
She's trying to tell us how all of us are racist, but we don't know it.
AOC and her boyfriend discuss combating racism as a white person on Instagram stories, because where else would such a serious topic be discussed?
And then they both proceed.
Which, by the way, why is her boyfriend, who's 30 years old, Riley Roberts, why is he the expert as a white person to combat racism? I mean, seriously, what is his background I don't know?
I have so many questions and beefs with this. First of all, you know what? As a white person, we're told all the time that we can't understand how certain people feel. I mean, white men, I mean, let's face it, we've been told that we don't understand very many things. Mm-hmm.
Why are y'all attacking us?
We don't understand how women feel. We don't understand how people in, you know, minorities feel.
Basically, we have no empathy, which I think is ridiculous.
Well,
you can empathize.
Of course there are white people that don't have empathy. Of course there are white people that are racist. But, you know, this idea that, you know what, you're racist and you don't even know it, and I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to tell you what to do. But you know what? We also view our lives a certain way that you don't understand, mm-hmm. AOC. Mm-hmm. What are we not allowed to have any perceptions based on the way our life has gone, for better
Boom.
Or worse?
Hot take.
I mean, in her eyes, of course, everything's perfect. But and her fucking boyfriend, fuck you.
Well, the first thing he said,
isn't it racist of her to have a white boyfriend?
No, she's so open-minded, she didn't even know he was white. I want to see what his background is, like why he's the expert.
Doc Sam!
The first thing he said is, I think it's helpful and important to talk to other white people about racism. Well, frankly, maybe you should talk to other people of other different ethnicities and backgrounds. And he said,
oh, it's just the whites? Oh, who cares about the whites?
Although I guess the topic is combating racism as a white person, he says, and I think a lot of people, they don't want to be racist.
Boy, a lot of brainstorms going on here.
They don't want to be racist.
So yeah, they
you know what?
Help
Those
it.
People aren't racist then.
So we are so out of control of our lives that we don't want to be racist, but we can't help it because we don't know.
And then he follows.
So he's going to help us learn how we're racist.
They don't think that they're racist, but they also don't know some of the things they believe or say can be racist. Now, I disagree. I think what he's talking about is being insensitive and not being empathetic. Doesn't mean you're blatantly racist because maybe there's an old stereotype that you know what I mean? You're not
God, he's so
deep. He is. You know, you can take a lot of things and say they're racist, but many times I find that I disagree, and I'm not looking to disagree. I mean, some things are obviously racist. Some things are in the middle, but you have to be in the mind frequently of the person saying it.
Now, this is a white guy talking, so it's probably wrong. But I thought, I thought the basis of racism is the intent behind it, to purposely discriminate against somebody because of their race, the color of their skin, their ethnicity.
It's an effort. It's not something that happens subconsciously.
And so a lot of
I know there's subconscious racism.
Well, there's unconscious bias, but that doesn't
mean
you're
outwardly racist. And dog whistling and all those things.
But there's the intent. Doesn't the intent matter?
Absolutely. I mean, I hate to keep going back to the two guys.
You say it, bro.
On MLK Day, but they intended nothing.
That's not racist.
So
he goes on to say that
that article was so annoying, and I read the whole thing, and I started reading comments
on this guy's article. Riley,
yes.
He says that using the opportunity as a teachable moment rather than a full condemnation can help people begin to understand their prejudice. Which my first thought was, full condemnation. Why don't you talk to your girlfriend about some of her condemnations?
Sometimes when I read something like that, I feel like, you know, maybe I'm a terrible racist because of some, I feel that that comment, they would like me to read that article and they would like me to follow those steps. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, boy, I feel so stupid with, you know, people that don't even know me telling me that I need to do all these things. Because I have to do a lot of things already. I mean, I fail at a lot of things in my life and I need to work on them. But it's just really, I mean, can you imagine if, I don't know, if I start lecturing women on how to act.
That's or mansplaining.
Isn't this a lot of toxic masculinity? There's no
check
toxic
your misogyny.
There's no. Oh boy,
isn't
that's
this a lot of broad brushing?
I thought broad brushing was wrong. And then, I thought that was what we learned, that that people being treated equally is what we're shooting for. I didn't know that.
So then, while
I suddenly wish I hadn't started on this path.
Check your misogyny.
While her white boyfriend is talking, while her white boyfriend is talking to us white people how to talk about racism with mm-hmm. other white people, she of course chimed in and said that.
Well, he can't do it alone.
It's just
he's just a white guy.
It's just always being open to learning about racist things we may have said or done without defensiveness. Well, once again, maybe a little empathy for the people that have been attacked when they weren't doing something racist because of a vocal flub.
L.O.B.
And more importantly,
you know, I want you two to kiss each other.
Are you paying more than 4% on your mortgage? You have lingering high-interest credit card debt? You may or may not know that right now rates are within fractions of a percentage point of their lows for the last 10 years. Be a great idea to call the company with almost 1,200 five-star reviews that's recently been averaging 10 days from start to finish on listeners that applied for a refi of their mortgage, and that's Hall Financial. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. You also go to David Hall. Is it David Hall Financial? Yeah, David Hall Mortgage. I'm sorry, davidhallmortgage.com. You can click the link on our website, or you can go to 248-308-5000, and you can save a lot of money on your refi. So many people are doing refis with Hall Financial, and they're all very pleased. I have emails to prove it. So, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 1467435. That's Hall Mortgage. Hall Financial. DavidHallMortgage.com. That seems... Should I talk to them about that?
Because
they not get David Hall
Financial? You can't get it right.
Yes. It must be their fault.
Are you mansplaining? Are you broadcast-splaining?
I wanted to quickly mention...
Check your misogyny.
That is... What a great drop that is. Oh, my God. Wait till we get there. I've never heard... I'm not even mentioning the story because I don't want to start. I've never seen so many buzzwords applied in so many different directions in one story as the one we'll get to later.
Yeah.
And I'm also excited because I wanted to talk about something that's completely unrelated to anything going on. I thought a really good documentary. Boy, was it watchable. Michael Hutchins, Mystify.
Oh, really?
The NXS singer. I thought
What's
it was really,
on?
Really Write good. It it's on, let's see. I think it's on a few different places, but it's on Apple TV.
Oh.
It's on.
That's okay.
If you look it up, it'll make its way around. It'll be on demand eventually. It's really good. It's got a lot of.
Thank you for stream splaining to me.
Sorry about that. There's a lot of footage and video that was from his personal collection, and from the collection.
We have
of his,
the footage. I have all the footage.
His gorgeous girlfriends. And a lot of really interesting subjects. And I love that band.
Yeah.
I love NXS. I kind of thought they were sort of, I don't want to say a boy band. Although, honestly, if you look at clips from them early on,
yeah.
Were the women out there.
Like
for Michael
Hutchins. Yeah.
But I thought they were a great band. They were funky. They rocked. They had soul. They had a lot
always
of
liked them, yeah.
good things going on. Started in 1977 as the Ferris Brothers. There are three brothers in NXS.
That.
Yeah. And they were from a super close family. Michael Hutchins was a neighbor. And it sounds like he spent more time at the Ferris' house than his own because he and his parents, or his parents, split up. This is weird. And Michael Hutchins' father left, I think he went to America, with his brother. And he stayed with his mom in Australia.
Okay.
And so there was, of course, this huge gulf between the one child and the other parent. because
naturally,
his dad lived in, you know, he hardly ever saw him.
Yeah.
And so he got super tight with the Pharisees. Eventually, they were all very musical, and they said, oh, you're really hot. You could be a singer. And,
good day, mate.
You could sing. But I thought it was a fascinating, I mean, the ending of his life is fascinating, not just the final end. But
how much did they get into that?
They got into it, I thought, enough. I mean, there's only so much you can know about that. But I want to talk about this documentary, but first I want to cover some other things like the Michigan victory, the Cult pulling a big one in Ann Arbor, beating Michigan State, who now has 8 losses.
I know. Wow.
What the hell is going on with the Spartans? They were number one in the country when the season started, weren't they?
They're still pretty damn good.
Oh, I know they're good. And this could be one of those.
The Big Ten is just munching on each other, man.
Could they get 11 teams in the tourney this year?
Some were saying 12, but yeah.
Wow. So they went at home, and honestly, I thought they did it fairly easily, considering Michigan State.
Michigan!
But could they have done it without Xavier Simpson, who thankfully got a suspension that ended in time for him to play against Michigan State?
Yep, excellent.
Because he just
respect the family and back off.
He was driving a little fast for conditions, and he hit a sign or something.
Yeah,
and
happens to
anybody. Now there was the part where he left the scene of the accident.
That was Jeff.
And he's with the athletic director's son.
Yeah, he was a team manager.
And then he came back. Was there any nepotism involved in that management position?
Oh, do you think?
He came back to the scene, and he said he was someone else.
Okay, bye.
So, yeah, he said he was Jeff.
I love that drop.
So they were chanting Jeff during the game.
In Ann Arbor?
Yeah.
Why?
Now, the paper said it was Michigan State fans, but at the end, when he was shooting free throws and they had the big lead, my buddy who was there said, no, they were Michigan fans chanting it, just kind of.
Sounds like a taunt.
Yeah, well, I think it was originally meant to be a taunt.
Well, I'm wondering, why did they not charge him with leaving the scene of an accident, which he did, and also with filing a false police report by giving a fake name? And I only say that from experience because I once was filing a false police report thing.
What?
You need a weed!
You say it, bro!
It's a long story. I'll come back.
Yeah,
I'll come back to it.
Sounds like a great one, too.
But I don't know. I didn't do anything he didn't do. So what happened there?
Oh, sounds like a great one.
Sounds like a little home cooking in Ann Arbor to me.
What are you talking about?
Why didn't you get charged with filing a false police report and leaving the scene of an accident?
The police didn't feel like it was worth it.
You're in the cult,
hey,
bro!
Police get attacked enough today. Don't attack the Ann Arbor police for doing their job with Jeff Xavier Simpson.
And what about no breath test?
Yeah.
A blood test?
Don't stop attacking the police in this.
No,
story.
I'm
they
just
did a great
I'm asking.
Job. They surveyed the situation. They deemed it was an accident.
But he
They were glad he was safe. Yeah, because he was disoriented.
How dare you try to tarnish my motherfucking homeboy's reputation,
he was
punk motherfucker.
He could have eaten a jar of peanut butter.
Why are y'all
butter.
Attacking us?
He could have eaten a jar of peanut butter to help his breath or taken a bunch of mints.
Yeah.
And he just,
or if he was hungry at 3 a.m.
I have another question about this because of something that was sent to me. How much damage was done to the car?
What does that matter?
Well, I mean, if you're driving, you're completely sober at 3 o'clock in the morning, which is pretty unusual. I think you'd be asleep somewhere.
Maybe you sleep.
You hit a car, or you hit a sign or whatever he hit.
Yeah, here's the video of
pull.
It.
Okay.
Hold on to your dick!
You need a weed!
Goodbye.
Now, it seems to be... Oh, somebody yelled at him to leave, so it's not his fault.
Yeah, and he said...
Goodbye.
Can I hear Stan K by? Because I love that.
I gotta get that one.
Well, while you're
okay, bye.
I want to know. Usually, you know, when these college athletes get mixed up in things, usually there's a lot of attention.
You mean an accident?
Well, something like that. I'm just curious as to why he left the scene of the crime, came back. Obviously, the car was not drivable, right?
Yeah.
Or he would have driven away.
Well, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
he left the scene on foot.
Maybe he was so disoriented he went to a bar and got hammered and then came back and said, I can't drive.
But I mean, can we get a slight damage estimate of the car? There was nothing in the story. It didn't say anything. The car was not drivable. It didn't say it looked like a lot of damage.
Alcohol may have been a factor.
It didn't say it was totaled. I mean, how much home cooking can one guy get?
There was no home cooking. The police did a wonderful job.
Hmm.
my God.
What?
You.
Why are you tagging the police?
He's in the cult, Brandon. He can't
You're in the cult, bro!
He's just giving us the talking points.
I know. I
just cult talking points.
I respect the police and the job, the investigative work that they did.
That's a good excuse. That's the only excuse we'd accept.
Okay, so us, Brandon, wouldn't you assume the car can't be driven if he left the scene?
It's gone. Just don't worry about it. It's gone.
I'm trying to put in my life, if I were to do this, do I think I'd get away with it?
No, you wouldn't. You'd have gotten charged with something. They'd probably drop the false report and they would give you leaving the scene, or they'd drop leaving the scene and give you filing a false police report. That's my guess.
Okay. Wrong.
When it went to court. Or they might even drop it when you went to court. But to not even charge him, what did they give him? Driving too fast for conditions?
A handshake.
I'd have given him a BJ from the sound of it.
Yeah,
jeez.
The way he played.
That question should be referred to New Jersey State Police.
Okay, I'll just ask one more time. Wouldn't you think you'd have some idea how much damage was done to the car?
You'd think it'd be reported.
Right. That's what I mean.
Well, it must have been fine then.
Well, that's sort of what I thought. And then someone was critical of my tweet yesterday when I said, big win for the cult. This is a funny story. I got the shittiest response. Just the shittiest.
Respect the family and back off.
I was saying big win for the cult. I didn't say anything about anyone
else. Oh, that's a backhand. You people know what that means.
What do you mean?
We know.
No, it wasn't Michigan. Michigan people weren't mad.
Oh.
Actually, I think people are amused by the cult.
Yeah, it's funny.
People seem to have affection for it, and they also know that they're in a cult, which is very self-aware of them.
Thank you.
Well, somebody's already listened to you talk about this, and they left this message on the boner line.
How dare you try to tarnish my motherfucking homeboy's reputation, punk motherfucker?
That guy makes a good
point.
Did
you find the tweet?
Oh, here's another guy that wrote. Here.
You say it, bro.
Did you find the tweet, Brandon?
Which tweet?
I said big win for the cult in a picture.
Why was this person mad?
I don't know, but there's an end to the story. The story is a happy ending.
Yeah, they won.
No, not that part.
Oh.
I mean, the negative response has a happy ending. I swear I also was big
here it is. Okay. So, yes, you posted a photo of the final score. Nice win for Juwan Howard and the cult. And then here comes Kevin.
Don't give his last name. I don't want him to get beat up.
Yeah, shut up, you queer. I already canceled my $10 a month because of Maz. Did you guys bring up Xavier Simpson this week, wrapping his car around a pole? Oh, not his car, the 80s wife's car.
Which, you know, the funny part of that is that the 80s wife's car. Well, that, you know, I talked to a couple people. I was like, oh, well, he's with this guy, and he was borrowing his mom's car. So he was just driving for his friend because he was sober and his friend. I mean, all of a sudden, everyone knows all these things. And because it looks bad when a player is driving the 80s sure. wife's car.
Of course, your wife's car is totaled.
But the talking points were already in place. So then when he said wrapped a car on a pole, I was thinking, well, that sounds like exaggeration. I thought he just hit a sign or something. Yeah. And then I thought, well, no, I don't know because they didn't tell me anything.
Right,
but he couldn't drive the car.
So you would assume he couldn't. Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you think someone would follow up and go, you know, much damage was done to the car?
There's got
to
be an incident report somewhere.
I somewhere. Think somebody might dig it up. But anyway, you want to read my very calm response?
I'm lucky I can even still have this phone and respond without your $10 a month. I read the ex-Simpson story Friday and haven't recorded a show since. It sounds like you might be butthurt over MSU losing. Jeez.
I just want to point out that it's
thanks
not,
for not unfollowing and hurting me even more.
He spells his name with a Z. I just want to point that.
Yeah, he does. His name is Z.
He changed it.
He sent me an email and apologized.
He did?
He did.
This person?
He left his tweet up.
He was...
Well, no, he responded to that tweet. The X story came out Thursday. I'm not unfollowing. I'm just not paying $10 a month anymore, hot shot. You seem to be doing pretty good. Can't wait to see Charlie at ye old again.
What?
Came out
wait
Thursday.
A second.
We would have talked about it if it was out.
What? No, it came out Thursday night, didn't it?
Yeah.
So you're wrong. Okay, I didn't know you responded like
it came up. I mean, the No Filter guys talked about it Thursday morning.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess
okay, I did not know about it.
Yeah.
So it's not. I said I read the story. I should have known about it, but I didn't because I work with people that would not bring it up.
What? I would have brought that up. What a great
you
job!
Didn't
the
bring it up.
What a great job the police did.
Wait, now I want to know. Did you know about that story before the show Thursday?
If I honestly don't remember. I don't recall.
Okay, again,
I'm looking at the history, my history in my computer.
I'm going to have to go to Brandon. Brandon, do you think he knew before Thursday?
Yes, absolutely. If the No Filter guys knew, he knew.
I think he knew too.
Not really.
He actually left a pretty pre-show discussion.
Wait a sec. I had a pretty rough Wednesday with all the kid illness.
Thursday, you weren't a liar.
Thursday, I had a morning meeting.
Listen to the talking points and the excuses.
You don't want
to
hear my... Hear my
if Michigan mind. Had played Wednesday night, would you not have been able to follow the game?
No, I wouldn't. The way
L-Y-I-N apostrophe.
All right, look.
You would have been watching it at the hospital on your phone.
Look, I'm looking at... I'm looking at my history of my website browser.
You're lying scum.
Do not have it at all.
Brandon, do you believe
you are lying?
Do you believe any of this?
No, I became part of the story. No. But let me
this
see.
Man is lying his head off.
Let me see what my friends had a conversation on GroupMe about it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Oh, I want to hear this conversation.
You're in so many group texts.
There's going to be talking points within the conversation.
Or maybe
because
they
might be honest because they think it's private. When you're within the cult, you can talk about stuff.
Wait. So Thursday, it's a lot of Michigan State talk.
I don't believe you anymore.
Thursday, 5:26.
Let me guess. It's shitty talk about D'Antonio.
I don't believe you.
No,
and the idiots that they're going
to
hire.
All I'll say is our one Spartan friend left that conversation because he came to troll. Sorry, Stro. Stro had to take it.
I don't believe that.
So 5:26, the conversation is still going on Thursday. Thursday, 8:36, Ruffle posts the story.
I wouldn't lie to you guys.
So we were well done.
So you couldn't have seen it anywhere
else. The response was, too bad nobody's here to troll us about this. Because my buddy left the conversation.
That's all that was said.
Thursday, 9 o'clock.
Nobody said, oh, at least he can play the Michigan State game.
Andy, 3:03 a.m. I think we all have a little piece of the story figured out. Glad the cops didn't, quote, smell... the intoxicants and didn't push it further, even though he, quote, stumbled when trying to get back in the car to get proof
what?
Of ownership.
I didn't hear that.
This must be the M Live story. I'll read it.
Oh, my God. Those cult members working in the mainstream media are leaving so much out of the story.
I thought that was a pretty good response, though. He's kind of upset about it.
Stop it.
Well, at least he knows what really happened.
Now, Matt wrote, roads and sidewalks in Michigan are notoriously uneven. He's used to walking on the hardwood. And then there's another inside joke to what we were talking about when he first got suspended and said, so did he also pee in scorekeepers before this? Because the rumor was he got in a fight at scorekeepers.
What?
But I bet that,
how could I not know any of this? I didn't even know this before today's show.
You're not in the cult. Because that hasn't been proven.
But this is interesting material to discuss.
It would be poor journalism on my part to bring that
forth. No, it's you guys are virtual employees of the PR department.
To which Matt replied, hard to tell as it didn't improve the vomit smell enough to be conclusive.
I find your belief system fascinating.
Wait, if you got in a fight at scorekeepers.
The point of this is that this was all after the show on Thursday, so I did not know.
But this is Sunday. Why didn't I know before this show?
Know what?
About Xavier Simpson. I mean, I knew from what I found out, but there was no discussion. Jim Thompson, that's a good story.
It was over. He's been playing for
a while. It hasn't been covered. No, and by the way, it is at least intriguing that he was suspended for a game right before the Michigan State game, and then he was reactivated for that. So
yeah, so I guess he was cleared. Pretty
like
pretty good.
All those things would go two games or three games or 2 weeks. Or not pretty well.
Well, that
you're
was,
in the cult, bro!
And they won the game, and he played well.
That was the big argument, though.
I'm surprised that with being sore from that fight, he was able to play that well.
Sore from the fight?
He got in a fight at scorekeeper.
Allegedly. That's never been proven.
By the way, is that in the M Live story?
No, that's a rumor.
Allegedly, I should say that for legal purposes.
Can you find out where that rumor's from?
It's from a friend of mine.
I mean, where he heard this, is it anywhere in the...
It's nowhere in the
mainstream. I see someone really
it's nowhere
cringy.
In the, what is it called? The MSM, the mainstream media.
Okay.
Oh, so here, Samuel Dodge of M Live has the whole police report.
Oh! What?
So you're just not reading the
report. You didn't tell me that!
A report shows the University of Michigan basketball star lied to officers about his name and whether or not he was driving the vehicle crashed into a utility pole in Ann Arbor hours after Michigan's loss to Illinois. I don't blame him. I would have crashed my car, too, after that shitty game. hey, wait, was that
You know, I want this to be said, too. I'm not trying to cast massive judgment on Xavier Simpson. He's, right. What is he, 20 years old? 21? No, wait, wait, how old is he? That's another good question.
I really don't know. He's a senior.
Okay, so he's 21.
That's not implausible that he wouldn't be. 22.
Okay, so he's legal to drink. Boy, I got a lot of homework to do after this show. I tell you what.
When did they play? When did that happen?
The person who knows the most about the story offers nothing. Zero. It's like it didn't happen.
What are you talking about? The cops cleared him. Everything's fine. So what's wrong?
Because if it was Michigan State, there might be a lot of questions about left the scene of the accident.
Our athletic department was on top of it and took care of it right away, mainly because his car was involved.
Stop it.
Officials found the senior port.
The AD's car is involved.
That's what I mean.
By the way,
he was on top of it.
The AD's car would certainly be a larger discussion point.
Nah, it was his wife's car and his kid, who's a manager's driver.
Does he drive the car on other occasions? Was he giving the manager a ride because he has the AD's mom's or wife's car?
Like it's actually my car, but I bought it
Does Xavier Simpson drive that car more than just that night?
No, because Evan Manuel.
Oh, how do you know?
Because Evan Manuel's with him, and maybe he felt it wasn't safe for him to drive that night. So Xavier's hero in this story.
I understand the might part, but I'm looking at another might. Might they be letting him use that car all the time?
Stop trying to prove a negative.
It's my car. I pay for everything. Right?
Not proving a negative. My might's just as strong as your might.
So here's Simpson initially.
You're making as many assumptions as I am.
Yeah, but the one with the most.
So in other words, the '80s kid has to act like I was bombed.
Maybe he was though.
No, but maybe
he wasn't feeling well.
Maybe he wasn't.
Well, maybe he was.
So he
said he was Jeff Jackson Simpson. Officers recognized him as the point guard for Michigan.
Jeff Jackson
asked Jeff Jackson Simpson. Then they asked
Jeff Jackson Simpson. Why would he use his real last name?
I don't know. Well, it's not that. It's a pretty common name.
Jeff Jackson Simpson. Where'd he come up with that one?
It's better than Tony Dones.
True. But to use the name that you really have seems like a large error. Did he think that? Well, it's not really a lie because I did use my real last name. I just gave two fake front names. So legally speaking, that's my given name.
He just wrapped his car around a pole. I mean, maybe he was disoriented.
Is there a Jeff Jackson that we don't know about? Is there someone named Jeff Jackson?
I'm sure there is. It's pretty common.
I mean, a friend of his or somebody from Michigan, like a football player.
Here's a great line. When officers recognized him as the point guard for the Wolverines, they asked him why he lied about his name. Simpson told officers he didn't want to be involved in the crash report.
That's a good excuse. That's the only excuse we'd accept.
That's a good answer. He's telling the truth.
He noticed Simpson stumbling, entering the car as the point guard said he was trying to retrieve proof that it was Evan Manuel's car, the police report says. An officer says he did not notice any odor of intoxicants.
Well, he stumbled. Athlete, and he stumbled getting in the car.
He was just in a horrific crash where he barely lived. He wrapped his car around like eight poles.
And he's bombed!
He
sobered up from the accident and from walking around the block and buying the breath mints.
Hey, police get enough crap these days.
Then he sees cops there. That sobers you up. And he's still too hammered to walk without stumbling.
I believe the officer. Hashtag believe police.
Stumbled, though.
Officers later spoke with Chris Lin-Manuel.
Home cooking. Boy, that's good home cooking.
Simpson, when interviewed February 5th by an investigator, Simpson said he drove the car in a utility pole due to icy conditions.
What was the temperature Wednesday night? Brandon, can you get on that?
It was January 26th.
Brandon, do some investigating, and I will remind people.
This is where it gets interesting, though. Simpson told police he was the only person in the car when the accident occurred.
Oh, so he was driving the car not because the other guy asked him to. He just drives the car all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Sounds like everything's on the up and up. I don't know what the problem is.
Well, he's driving the AD's car.
Go blue. What?
He's got the AD's car.
His son's car.
Wait, I thought it was the wife's car.
Yeah, but the son uses it. So.
Well, and Xavier Simpson uses it, too. Does he have his own key for it?
At 3 in the morning when he's in
I have so many good questions.
Hurry to get somewhere.
It's too bad I wasn't the arresting officer.
I didn't get arrested. I think the detective did a hell of a job. Follow-up interview.
So he drove home? Oh, no, the car couldn't drive the car.
Yeah, I don't know how he got home.
Oh, but the cops gave him a ride. And no damage estimates in there? There's nothing about how damaged the car was?
No.
Just undrivable.
Mm-hmm. I'm just glad he's okay.
I'd like to see,
that's the important thing.
I sure would like to see a picture of the car. That would add a lot to the story. The
important thing is he's just fine. That car is so...
Brandon, wouldn't you like to see a picture of the car?
Yeah, absolutely.
The
car has so been totaled mafia style.
That car is this big. I'm making a square with my hand, my fingers.
By 5 o'clock that morning, 2 hours. That car was totaled and crushed.
It's such a silly college sports story. I mean, there's
of course
probably 50 of them a year. All right, Jim Bentley.
That guy.
He had a little streak today we may have to talk about eventually, or maybe we can get a screenshot to
please no.
People understand it. Jim isn't the most diligent team member at Zotforge, some people are saying. Sometimes it's things we all see, like posting Twitter rants from Zotforge's toilet. Other times he's more low-key, like playing FIFA soccer on his phone. Is it FIFA?
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Yeah.
At his desk for hours at a time. But Jim Bentley is also moving some wheels these days, and one thing is for certain, Bentley belongs on the radio because he loves to hear himself talk. So please do Steve Gabara, and especially yourself, a favor. Do not call Bentley if you want a new Ford or a previously loved vehicle. Simply jump in your ride, get to Zot Ford and Holly, where we guarantee Anthony Ketchum, the sales manager, will be there, and maybe Jim Bentley will save you tons of cash. Maybe, or maybe Anthony will do it, or maybe Stacy will do it. While making the, or Gary. Gary's still there.
Gary.
Gary's got management. He's certainly got some experience as a manager.
As a salesman.
Position. Anyway, it's all simple, fast, fun, and easy. But the best part is, if you lease a car from Bentley, if you get a used car from Bentley, previously loved. If you leave Zot Ford in a car that used to be theirs, you are eligible for our dinner at Mesa, as all people that make such an arrangement between now and March the 15th are invited to dinner with us, the show, at Mesa for some great Mexican food and a couple pops. Not as many as Simpson had.
He had none.
Plus... they've
Cops
got signed shirts, too. I mean, this is really, we're trying to get Bentley really rocking and rolling at Zot Ford. He did get out of a slump, though. I bet he's moved a couple cars by now. Do you know offhand?
I'll ask him.
Okay. Text him.
Yeah. Well.
At Zot Ford, you can lease. Well, he's pretty busy, actually, getting pictures you can put up for some crazy reason. You can lease brand new cars, trucks, and SUVs around $100 a month, or buy them with 0% financing up to $10,000 off the sticker. And Dr. Yaldo wants you to be 20/20 in 2020 just because it sounds cool. And also because it's what he does. LASIK surgery, multifocal implants, without glasses and contacts. The only way to get there is to opt for a safe, painless, brief procedure at the Yaldo Eye Center, which is best done by Dr. Yaldo, who has more experience than any eye surgeon in the Midwest. He'll examine your eyes up to a dozen different ways to determine your issues, and then he'll tell you, look, you could do this now, you could do that now. Maybe it's better to wait a couple years because of your ability to still read, you know, not have your close vision affected, et cetera, et cetera. He gives you the option, then you decide what to do. Understand will be required to rid you of glasses, contacts, and reading glasses, and decide for yourself. 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Any information on the car? Or what was my big question?
You wanted to know what it looked like.
Yeah. I had another question.
For the record,
I saw the forecast, and the forecast looked like it was around freezing.
See how he tried to distract me from what I really wanted to know when I was on my investigative bent? What was this? What was the forecast, Brandon? You know,
we all knew it was icy because Xavier said so.
I didn't get any accidents that night.
It looked like it was all around freezing.
Around freezing?
Mm-hmm. 32 degrees.
Yeah, that's freezing. All right. Boy, it's dangerous. Be safe on those roads out there.
Were there a lot of accidents Wednesday night? I hope we get some feedback on this. I would love to hear from some people that live west a little bit to tell me if they got in an accident on Wednesday night. Did anybody get in an accident Wednesday night?
I'm looking at the Free Press story written by Darcy Moran. Published.
Dox Darcy Moran immediately. Let's see if she's a cult member.
This is helping your argument here. Stop piling on me.
I just want to know if she's a cult member.
Published.
Darcy... Moran?
Yeah, moron. Okay. Published Thursday at 9:29 p.m.
She has 126 likes.
I'm just telling you, 9:29 p.m., that helps you. We did not know when we did Thursday's show.
Well, I know, but that's not my question. My question is, how many people got in accidents that night? Was it just an accident-filled night?
That was the original question, though. Was it not?
Brands remind me it's not a sports podcast. This is not sports. We're talking about police matters at this point.
And they did a perfect job. It was a perfect phone call. It was a perfect police report. Now, the other problem, which I just found this out, is Tony Paul, who does wonderful work digging into things.
Yes, he does.
Had a report today.
Uh-huh.
On Jeff Xavier Simpson's driving record.
Uh-oh. Now what?
Well, he's had a little trouble. It was crazy. He's had 3 speeding tickets on his driving record, including going more than 100 miles an hour on the freeway. Well, who
what? Hasn't? Well, how fast was he going? That's why I need to see the car.
Simpson's driving record from the Ohio Department of Public Safety Bureaus includes 4 traffic convictions over the last 5 years, not including the ticket issued last month in Ann Arbor.
Well, very interesting.
He was going 105.
What? How many games did he suspend it for when he got caught going over 100?
Zero. That was in 2015. What? That was 5 years ago. That's like looking up a bad tweet.
Okay.
He was going 105 to 65 mile an hour.
Woohoo! Likes to go fast.
He was a junior in high school.
Wow. Whose car was he driving?
I don't know. His coach's sons. The other 3 incidences occurred during his Michigan tenure. Speeding ticket in Ohio, July 1st, 2019, 82 and a 70. 82 and a 70? Why even give him a ticket?
Kind of bogue.
Speeding ticket in Ohio, May 17, 2018, for going 39 and a 25.
Well, but he could have been going 59, and they go, oh, Xavier Simpson, how you doing? Yeah, well, I'm going to write you up for 39 and 25.
And a ticket for failing to obey a traffic sign in Michigan.
That sounds like it was something else, and they decided to give him a break.
Maybe, but you don't know that. So.
No, once I again, don't. Just saying it.
Once again, you're questioning police.
No, I'm just aware of these kind of procedures.
He was suspended 1 game last month for missing curfew, for the record, because it happened at 3.
Who cares?
For missing curfew? What about leaving the scene of an accident?
That's not a team violation, apparently.
What about filing a false police report?
Not a team violation.
Seems like he would have missed more than 1 game if he was suspended for missing curfew. Because the other stuff, it seems like, that would have added up. Just saying. Anyway.
He got a ticket for driving too fast.
If anybody can add something to this story,
there's nothing
I'd like to hear it. Darcy Moran, meanwhile, apparently she didn't go to college because there's nothing on her information that tells me that she went to college. So she's either hiding it.
I know who I can ask.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Elric would know.
Oh, I was going to ask him. I was going to ask someone else.
Okay. And we'll move on. Well, this is a fun topic. I'm excited about this topic. I think there's more to know.
Why? Because you're trying to put me on the defensive?
Somebody's trying to hide information from me, and I'm determined to dig it up.
I refuse to budge. You have no proof that I knew.
Brandon, can you be on full alert? Any information related to Xavier Simpson, I want you on full alert.
You got it.
I feel like the media's a little sloppy. But maybe somebody... And Darcy could have gone to Michigan State. And maybe it was, she did her story on Thursday.
Like Tony Paul, it's a hit piece.
That's how it works
nowadays.
Tony
Paul went to Michigan State.
And that's what you do. You go, well, I went to Michigan State.
Tony, by the way.
And you dig up another article, a shitty article about Michigan. Like, look at this article he wrote in 2013.
Tony Paul has written so many detailed stories on Michigan State's legal problems, including recently he's the one that wrote about Blackwell's deposition. Against Antonio. He also did all the reporting. Remember the softball coach thing?
Who cares?
Fine. I'm just saying. I like Tony. I think he's a good reporter.
But that would be the angle. If Tony dug up something, then you'd be hearing all about, well, he went to Michigan State.
Well, he had a tweet the other
day.
That's
why he's telling. They call it telling on him.
Tattling?
Yeah. Telling on a homeboy.
Yeah, exactly.
No, to tattle on Xavier Simpson. And speaking of telling on, oh my God, there's so much telling on.
How dare you
on.
Try to tarnish my motherfucking homeboy's reputation, punk motherfucker.
Okay. I think there should be more information. That's all I'm saying. But, you know, I'm finding that the sloppiness, and some people, I don't know, I think people probably agree with a lot of this. Facebook, once again, guy kills 26 people, 29 people, 21 people. And the killer is in Thailand taking selfies of himself and posting away, posting videos, shooting at people. And, it's funny. I don't think we'll be talking about this in the future because it's just normal. It will probably talk about it if Facebook doesn't carry it live. Because every guy that does this knows, man, Facebook Live loves these. They'll always carry them. It'll get shared. It'll be up for eternity. Mm. So, no surprise there. But Brandon and I this morning or this afternoon, were talking about how many people were killed. Because I said, oh, yeah, the 26 people killed. And Brandon said, oh, no, it's 20. What'd you say? It's 21?
It's growing like
I always thought
hour.
It was 21. But right. then, I don't know, we did some digging, and who knows?
Well, everyone has, not everyone, but a lot of people have different numbers. CNN says it's 29. The BBC, that was an hour before our conversation. They had 21. MSN had 29. Reuters had 29. NPR had 27.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible that 21 were killed in the shopping center and the others were killed because he killed his military leader?
Well, we have a difference. There's a differential of 8 people.
Yeah, but he was also driving around the cities of whatever the name of this town was.
But he killed however many people he killed.
Yeah.
And
it's also Thailand, so.
Well, then don't print a number. Say it's believed he killed over 20 people. It just seems to me when you put a number down, it used to mean something. Now it seems like, well, just be close. And let's see. Fox 2 was saying 21 dead because I had Fox 2 on and they did the story. I don't know, 21 to 29. And, you know, it's a real, I'm being really persnickety about this because it doesn't matter to us.
What did you say Reuters said?
21.
What did AP say?
I didn't have AP number. You want to see if Reuters is updated, Brandon?
Because I bet you Reuters is one source in AP. Is probably the other source, and everybody uses those.
Well, mass shootings have not been going on for a long, 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 long time, but they've been going on long enough that I would think there would be policies in place where there would be some. I mean, there used to be verifiable ways this sort of thing was done, like the ABC guy who last week was he suspended because he said all of Kobe's children were killed in a chopper crash.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a giant mistake.
Is that different because he's actually referring to specific people dying?
I think it's, yeah, I think so.
I think it's way worse.
I think it's really bad. But we see so much of this now that I think we're, you know, like the mass shootings. We're getting a little numb to mistakes
Nobody
like
cares.
This.
Nobody cares anymore.
Well, I think if you're, you know, if you know Kobe's at 3 other kids, you care.
That, yeah. No, I'm talking about mass shootings, especially in Thailand.
No, but I still think there used to be a desire to get things right. It was expected that you would have the right number.
Well, you don't think they're trying to get the right number?
You think they are, but there's something about being first that has moved way ahead of getting the exactitude. I think it's important. And, oh, the other Facebook story, it's not a, you know, you're right, it's not a big deal. Just pointing it out. The Facebook video that was posted by...
It was a much bigger story.
I don't know if it was Trump or who posted it. It's not Trump,
Oh, this
story.
Oh, I thought you meant... You know, this guy had a Facebook video, right?
The Thailand guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, seriously, Shishal thought... How do you pronounce his name?
Jakrapanthama?
And what's the name of the city it happened in?
Nakhon Ratchasima?
Why is Brandon putting a question mark at the end of everything?
I was just going to say... Just a thought. I don't know.
There's a video of Trump feeding the 100-year-old Muskegee Airman, which was a great moment at the
State of the Union.
State of the Union address. It was really, I mean, it's one of those things that is inarguable. I don't know. Maybe
very good.
Maybe someone had a problem with it. I don't think so, though. I don't think anyone should have had a problem with it. Well, because the Democrats sat down for a lot of the night, I watched this and I did not notice this, but they then show you another video running alongside of it of Nancy Pelosi sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was standing when the 100-year-old Tuskegee Airman was feeded, and
she is a goofus.
This is like a typical political commercial where something is grossly inaccurate, but there's a kernel of truth.
It's a big misrepresentation of what happened.
It's a huge misrepresentation. And it's shitty, too. It's like...
And it's also easily debunked if you care to look and see if this was true.
Well, I watched the thing, and I did not see that. So I thought, well, that's strange, because when it first came out...
Sleuth.
When it first came out... I kind of thought, I do this to myself a lot. I thought, oh, wow, how did I miss that?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I did. And I'm a person that follows a lot of things. And so, you know, somebody who doesn't know anything or didn't watch it, and a lot of people did not watch the State of the Union address, those people just think, well, boy, that bitch.
I know, but even no matter how much you hate that person or even any person, do you really think they wouldn't stand for that? For Tuskegee Airmen?
Well, there was some sitting down for certain things that night that were surprising.
If you really sat and thought about it, that...
I wouldn't put anything past anyone now with these two groups of people. And by the way, chanting 4 more years, I thought
How did she even get on television?
I thought was incredibly stupid. I just thought it was childish. Yeah. And not shaking someone's hand.
How dare you try to tarnish my motherfucking homeboy's reputation, punk motherfucker?
And tearing up the speech.
Yeah, and so it's all antics to get on TV.
Well, I'm not sure what the antics were. It's I hate you. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know,
But that's my point, though. You know she hates Trump. You know Trump hates her. Why would you think she hates a Tuskegee Airman?
I would not have thought that. I would have thought that she just wasn't acknowledging anything Trump was doing. I would never think that she hated the Tuskegee Airmen. I would never have thought that. I wouldn't have taken it that far. I wouldn't have made that leap. I would have just said she so does not respect Trump that she's just, you know, she's kind of out of it. And I think there was something.
What she did with him was absolutely horrible.
I think it might have been when the girl got the scholarship. Mm-hmm. I think I saw the people dressed in white sitting down. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if Pelosi was sitting down, but one of those things, and not Rush Limbaugh, one of the other ones, I thought, and I'm not going to say I'm sure because I'm not sure.
Were you surprised that some of the women in white were standing up for Melania?
I didn't even know they were standing up for Melania. Yeah. No, I'm totally surprised they would do that.
Yeah, there's a smattering. Well, once again, what has she done? She hasn't done anything bad other than marry him.
She wore that horrible thing on her jacket. She stole Michelle Obama's speech.
That's right. Yeah. Ooh.
How dare you?
Ooh.
Honestly.
You need to leave.
That was the day that I said, oh, God, this is going to be a long, ugly road.
That was the day?
That was the day.
Really?
I turned on the TV and I was like, you know, I'm glad the conventions are over because they're just bullshit. And the lead story was Melania Trump's speech was stolen from Michelle Obama. It was like, oh, God, here we go. I don't know why. It just something symbolic about it. And I felt crappy, too. I was like, oh, God, it just sucks. It's just lousy. It's like, I don't know. And since then, now these people truly do hate each other and they truly think the other people. And I've noticed that anyone connected in any strong amount to Donald Trump becomes crazy. Like Lindsey Graham is crazy now. And, you know, Hillary Clinton went to Donald Trump's wedding in 2007.
Yeah.
I mean, she thought enough of him to do that. Now
she needed something from him.
He is exactly. And actually, in the end, the impeachment votes were really about being reelected more than anything, except for Mitt Romney, who is being piled on. I don't know anything happened.
Romney, he sucks.
So, you know, the less said about this, the better. I just thought that Facebook thing was shitty, and Facebook won't take it down.
I know.
What the fuck is that?
It's Facebook. Anything
is
goes.
That because is
anything goes unless you're smoking, right, Brandon?
That's true.
Yes, we had a Facebook video. Our Facebook Live went down because Jim Bentley had a cigarette burning in an ashtray.
Yep.
So that went down. The third most powerful person in the United States can be portrayed as disrespecting a 100-year-old black man who's being honored at the State of the Union. That's okay.
Well, they didn't take down the infamous video where they slowed her down to make it look like she was hammered, did they? I think they're so scared to take down anything for being labeled one way or the other politically.
But we know that's falsely edited.
Unless it's in an actual political ad.
We know it's falsely edited.
Yeah.
Why would they? You know what it is? I think Facebook and all the platforms just are of the attitude that, shit, it's way too much work to
you
do
guys
this sort
figure
of
it out. Yeah. You do the research.
You know, look, there's a mass murder every 6 months. If we have to take down every mass murder, can you imagine how much work it's going to take to know that a guy is... We can't do that. That's too much work. So,
not my job.
So they just try to act like
to pay people to do
we're about freedom. And so we're freedom to be inaccurate.
All I have to say is,
you say it, bro.
right.
Are they going to leave up Biden's new sweet commercial?
Oh,
I'm thoroughly enjoying all this attacks on the Democratic side and watching people because they've been so nice to each other the whole time.
They haven't been that nice.
Oh, yeah, they have. There's been this big concerted effort to be pretty nice and respectful to each other. And then once the whole Bernie Warren thing happened, what, like 3 weeks ago, the gloves are off, baby.
Yeah.
And now that they actually have a winner for one
well,
of
we
the...
knew, but we knew.
Oh,
the gloves
no, we knew
come
it was
off.
coming at some point.
By the way, who have they shit on more at the debates? Because I haven't watched much of
the
debates.
This is really sad.
But,
I watched a lot of Friday's debate. I don't know why. I just got hooked into it.
I watched some of it, and actually I could have watched more. But my question is, who's getting shit on more at the Democratic debates, each other or Trump?
Each other in this last
That's kind of what I thought.
By far. I don't even think I heard them mention Trump outside the fact of, hey, we need to beat Trump, which is kind of was Tom Steyer's big push. With
Did okay, they talk whatever. About impeachment?
Only in...
They're losers.
Only in the regard of you had some senators on there that had to vote while...
they were gone from the campaign trail.
So that's their, you know, their experience, too.
But they're losers. Just remember that.
Well, okay, where's Bloomberg? Why was Bloomberg not at that debate?
Because he
must have been too late.
He doesn't have enough polling for New Hampshire. It was in New Hampshire.
Yeah, he'll be coming
Bloomberg,
up later.
Bloomberg, according to Michigan polls that I think DIV did, beats Trump in Michigan.
Haley,
how can he not be in a debate?
Well, it's not the Michigan. It's not
that,
Michigan's
that state turn doesn't even matter. This is all about six states. There's only six states that matter.
No, I know.
And Michigan matters almost more than any. So if why am I arguing with the system?
No, I know. In the system, it is what it is. So but they try to weed out people that don't have the money or the, you know, if you can't mobilize people in a caucus in a small state or a primary in a small state, how the hell are you going to do it in states that matter? So it's kind of a weeding out process. So anyway, that's why he's not there. Haley Stevens, by the way, the Michigan rep.
Yeah.
Just endorsed Bloomberg, which kind of surprised me that already.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised.
So anyway,
I think Bloomberg actually has a better chance to win than maybe all of them.
Probably. Really good name recognition.
And he's run New York.
Well, it's no South Bend.
Precisely.
And that's kind of what Biden is going after. Boot edge
and
now.
I laughed my ass off. I heard a clip of his commercial, Biden's, where he's attacking Pete Buttigieg. And it's so funny because it's a piece of Buttigieg as ad where he's talking about all the great things he's done.
No. It's an attack ad from Biden. Play the whole ad.
Oh, it's not. It's not really from his ad.
No. It's Biden.
Check this out.
Mocking his inexperience.
Barack Obama called Joe Biden
best vice president America's ever had.
But Pete Buttigieg doesn't think much of the vice president's record.
Who has not said their vice president was the best vice president we've ever had?
Nixon. After Agnew quit, I don't know.
No, doesn't everyone say my vice president
is chose
so
him.
Good? I know.
Hired him.
But that quote is so
wrong.
It's so empty.
It is very,
it's the
very
emptiest
empty.
Fucking thing.
Well, it's funny because there's this quick.
And with the Hunter Biden thing sort of lurking in the air, too, it seems like it's, I don't even know if I'd bring that up.
Our former vice president.
I would agree with that. But everybody's trying to attach, you know, to Obama.
Okay.
Let's compare. When President Obama called on him, Joe Biden helped lead the passage of the Affordable Care Act, which gave health care to 20 million people.
Pause.
And when parkgoers called on Pete Buttigieg.
Called him to lead? I mean, when I think of Obamacare, it's not Biden care.
No, I know.
Did Biden really do that much?
What you're going to find out here is that the deep state, when Obama was president, it was really Joe Biden ran everything
That's
and did everything.
That's what it sounds like so far.
We just found out that he saved health care. Let's find out how
it's
comparable. Well,
the auto companies, too.
Let's find out how.
What's the comparison for Buttigieg to Biden saving 20 million?
Okay, sorry. This is a really funny ad, so I'm ruining it.
Million people. And when parkgoers called on Pete Buttigieg, he installed decorative lights under bridges, giving citizens of South Bend colorfully illuminated rivers.
I like
both
those.
Vice President Biden and former Mayor Buttigieg have taken on tough fights. Under threat of a nuclear Iran, Joe Biden helped to negotiate the Iran deal. And under threat of disappearing pets, Buttigieg negotiated lighter licensing regulations on pet chip scanners. Both Vice President Biden and former Mayor Pete have helped shape our economy. economy. Joe Biden helped save the auto industry, which revitalized the economy of the Midwest and led the passage and implementation of the Recovery Act, saving our economy from a depression. Pete Buttigieg revitalized the sidewalks of downtown South Bend by laying out decorative brick. And both Biden and Buttigieg have made hard decisions. Despite pressure from the NRA, Joe Biden passed the assault weapons ban through Congress. Then he passed the Violence Against Women Act. And even when public pressure mounted against him, former Mayor Pete fired the first African-American police chief of South Bend. And then he forced out the African-American fire chief, too. We're electing a president. What you've done matters.
So the assault,
the assault weapon thing was Biden?
Apparently.
Okay. Wow.
Don't you just picture that lady doing the voiceover and Joe coming up from behind her and smelling her hair and kissing her?
That would be a fun ad to do.
Isn't that a great ad, though?
Oh, boy.
It's a really good ad.
Well, well, well. All right. There's a huge...
By the way, Buttigieg's response to all this when people are hammering him for his inexperience is like, he just looks at me like, you're old. That's really what he does. He's like, that's in the past. We're talking about the future. And you're like 90 years old.
I cannot believe
that's his big comeback.
That Biden, Bernie Sanders, Bloomberg's going to be 78 in February.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie is 78, and Biden is 77. I forget when he turned 70. Why would you want to be president? I don't know why Trump wants to be president at his age. It's just fucking crazy. There ought to be a law. I mean, an amendment.
For age?
I think so.
That's ageist.
Well, okay, 70.
That's ageist.
70? To be the president?
Hey, I know.
I think we're doing it for them, stop them from themselves.
Frankly, the minimum age of 35 is a little ageist, too. What if there's a cool 29-year-old representative from New York that wants to run?
Well.
Whose white boyfriend can teach everybody a lesson or two.
You know, John F. Kennedy was, when he ran, I think he was 40 or 39.
He was young, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how old was Clinton? Was really
Clinton
young.
Was 43 or 44. He was just a little older than Kennedy.
You know, I want you two to kiss each other.
Did you know he met him?
I know, it's so weird. It's a new decade. It's a new time for Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com. Start Something New event. During the Start Something New event, our friends at Zot are leasing new loaded 2020 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4s as low as $148 a month. If you're all about the Jeep wave, stop by Zot and lease a new 2020 Jeep Compass Limited all-wheel drive around $122 a month. If you really want to step it up, get to Zot and lease a new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $229 a month. Plus, Zot is your lease turn-in headquarters, and that could be a lot of fun. That really could be fun, taking in that POS that you just treated so poorly. Taking it to them and letting them flip off the original.
I know if your son let his friend drive a car at 3 a.m. and gets in a horrific accident, you need to
just
get rid of
that car. Just get it towed
in there.
Just get it towed in.
Stop it.
No one will ever know.
Zot will take care of it. And don't forget, over at the Ford joint, we've got dinner with the show, courtesy of Your Purchase from Jim Bentley. So make some noise when you go over there. And Luke Nowacki.
Yummy.
Is doing his thing.
Making noise.
In fact, Luke is on No BS News. He's on No Filter Sports. He's on The Drew and Mike Show. And
there's only one missing.
Understand he is going to be on The Elric Show.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're breaking news.
All right. The Soul of Detroit. Yeah, I think
we're looking at money.
I think Luke was saying that he just needed to get it approved. But Luke is money.
Yeah.
I mean money as like they say in the movie Swingers. Mm-hmm. Like Mikey's money.
He'll take your money and make more money.
Luke, if he says he's got tickets to the Red Wings.
I like money.
He's got tickets to the Red Wings. If he says he's betting on the 2-1 pitch at the Tiger game, he's betting on the 2-1 pitch at the Tiger game. Luke and his brother like in-game betting. Luke's brother is a lot of fun.
In-game betting's the best. I'm with him.
In fact, they had that event at the Comedy Castle the other night. Mm-hmm. That
Wednesday night.
Charlie, did ML say anything about that?
Yeah, he said it was fun. He said it was really hard drive, so it was really icy out driving. I'm not joking.
I'm texting him and finding out.
He did.
He'll be on Team Drew all the way.
No, he won't. He's
yes, he will.
He'll be on Team Police.
Stop it.
Maybe you've changed jobs recently. Maybe you've changed jobs a couple times, and you've got some 401ks that are loosely out there earning whatever they're earning. Because honestly,
a little change in a 401k could mean a lot when you look at a stock market that's at, what, almost 30, is it at 30,000 yet or close?
Is it that high?
Well, was it 20? It was at 29 something, yeah. And yeah, there were some bumps.
But
the
it
coronavirus.
Went back up. Yeah, 29,102.
Okay, so it's 800 and some odd, 898 shy of 30,000. I remember when it was 20,000.
This coronavirus, man, it's really messing with the market.
This too shall pass.
It will be fine. Yeah.
But yeah, so Luke Nowacki helps you. Maybe it's something little that really makes a big difference. Because honestly, if you're in an international fund or something and it's really not doing well, it's because those things can go really sideways. I was in Asia. I was in an Asian mutual fund thing. And I didn't look at it for a long time. I'm like, wait a second. That thing's down like 39% in an up market. And it wasn't a ton of money, but I mean, those are the kind of things that over 5 years, 10 years can really make a difference.
Like those emerging markets.
Plus, yeah, it was an emerging markets fund, actually. It was. Which takes wild swings so up too.
It wasn't just an Asia fund. It was an
no, it wasn't Asia. It was emerging markets. You know, maybe it's a 529 for the kids, or maybe you and your spouse both have good jobs, but for some reason you don't put anything away. Luke Nowacki would love to help you. It's what he does. 248-663-4748. I've never talked to anyone who wasn't delighted with their meeting for one reason or another. And then there's this.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of
Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
You slow down.
Love that.
Do we know if Guns N' Roses sold out?
I can look.
Yeah, just curious. How far in are we, Brandon?
126.
I mean, you got stuff to get in, and it's like, I don't know how to get all this in today.
Oh, I want to hear more about the NXS doc. Did you happen to watch the other ones I was asking you to watch, like McMillions?
I watched The Pharmacist on Netflix.
You watched
I saw McMillions.
Thing?
It was really good. Really good. McMillions is an HBO doc, right?
Yeah, and it's
six parts or something?
It's six parts, so you can't binge it all at once, but part one is out. It's really good. But you like The Pharmacist, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that phenomenal?
I thought it was very good. And it's about a pharmacist who gets involved in who gets involved in the opioid crisis on a personal level and on a larger level. And by the way, spoiler alert. There's another pharmacist, and I'm sure a lot of people are aware of this. I was aware of it. I knew people that were screwing around doing stuff like this. Mm-hmm. There was another pharmacist in his town that was one of those friendly doctors that just, you know, you make an appointment for $150 and she prescribes you OxyContin or Percocet or whatever it is you want. And this place was a quote-unquote pain clinic, and it was also 24 hours.
Yeah, most of her work was done at night. Amazingly, too, she was a trained pediatrician.
I know. It's so stupid.
Shouldn't that be the first flag? And then
yeah.
All these people were coming in with scripts for 80 milligrams of OxyContin, like 30 milligrams for Valium. What were the other two drugs?
Xanax. Was one, I think.
And Soma, which is a muscle relaxer.
Well, that'd be a nice combination.
The Holy Trinity, they called it, apparently.
Yeah, that was great.
The problem is they're pretty addictive, which...
If somebody knew what combination to put that into, it sounds like it'd feel pretty good.
Serious as you shall, thought, I loved... his name was Daniel Snyder, which not the owner of the Redskins, but great guy, amazing man. My only problem with him...
Wait, can I guess?
Yes.
It's a lousy fucking pharmacist. Because he's telling people to come in there, do you really need OxyContin? Do you really need Percocet? If I owned that joint, I'd fucking blow him out. That was horrible.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
What kind of an employee is he?
He had to argue with everybody that picked up their script about it, which he's doing it from a good place, so I understand it. It's not me, but my God.
His child died, so he's not,
I understand that,
he's not objective remotely. That's not his job.
If that was my pharmacist, I would be livid. I'm like, just give me the meds, dude. I'm going to go to a different pharmacy next time.
That's all I could think of was, oh my God. This guy's going to get fired for doing this. That's what I really thought was going
to
happen.
He did. The boss told him to knock it off. And then he quit for a while, and he asked if he could come back. And he said, yeah, on one condition, you leave your tape recorder at home, because the guy that busted this doctor in the
I forgot about that.
He audio taped everybody he talked to, which is what makes it a great documentary, because all these conversations. And it started when his son died, and it's a terrible story. His son died buying crack in the lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans, and the police just were like, yeah, you know what, happens all the time. Sorry, shouldn't have been there, kind of thing.
Did I dreamweave or something?
And
did...
he said, because of that first initial conversation where the detective was like, fuck off, these don't get soft. He's like, that's it, I'm taping everybody. And he did. He wired his car. He wired himself. Every conversation's on tape.
It's a very fascinating story, and it really is. It was just, it's been a huge issue. It still is a huge issue. I'm sure, you know how people, as AIDS move forward and people coming out of the closet move forward, you know, it's like everyone knows someone who's been affected by AIDS. I got to believe, I would think that the opiate crisis thing would be, everybody doubt. Knows a few people who've been affected by it.
Without a doubt.
It's been a real mess. And
they point out correctly in that documentary that part of the problem was, too, once they cut off the supply, you had all these addicts that were looking for something, and they turned to heroin.
Yeah.
Because they didn't bother getting people off appropriately or weaning them.
I never understood that, by the way. Because
it's unintended consequences because the people making decisions weren't really looking at the people taking the medicine, the people that were in trouble.
It was so commonplace. It probably still is, because what happens is people get that script. And they were talking about somebody in that documentary who they kept running out because they were getting a script and they're abusing it. And so then you find out that, oh, there's a black market for this, so I can buy the extra ones I need on the streets. And they make a lot of money doing that. These people that get scripts, like those people that were lined up out the door at 2 in the morning at this pain clinic.
Now, what made her unique, this doctor that got busted and the pharmacist on Netflix, is that she had licensed New Orleans police officers at her door, like protecting her clinic at 2 in the morning. And I thought the one story that was amazing is a guy who kind of was befriended by the pharmacist because that's where he got his script from.
Yeah.
And so he guilted him kind of into helping him. His day job was fixing printers and copiers. So he goes into work and they're like, hey, go see this doctor. And he's like, oh, that's my script doctor that gives me all these, you know, muscle relaxers and opioids. And he gets there and he fixes the printer and she says hi to him. And he goes, okay, printer's fixed. Here's the bill. And she goes, here's the script. And he's like, what? She goes, here's the script. He goes, well, thanks for the script, but I need $450 to take back to my boss. So she snatched the script back. Went, disappeared. Next thing you know, a uniformed police officer of New Orleans comes out with four scripts and says, take these and leave. Which, what?
Oh, God.
What?
Wow.
It's incredible that this went on. And this is 2000, 2001.
This is 8% Cody never hurt anybody.
Part of the reason I say any PhD who wants me to call them a doctor had better have one of those pads.
Yeah.
That's a fucking doctor, man.
Remember when they busted her, what they found in her office?
I take Adderall and birth control.
Tons of script pads. Already signed!
She was a piece of work. How did she get through medical school?
She was a pediatrician.
I don't think I want her being my pediatrician.
Well, no, I wouldn't either.
I don't think I ever wanted her being anyone's pediatrician.
She was a pediatrician in a very poor part of New Orleans that finally said, oh, look at all this money I can make.
She was unscrupulous. She had no boundaries whatsoever.
Yeah.
And you know what? You could pay, okay, $150 to get her to fill out her script pad. I bet those meetings were 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah. There was a refill line.
Because
you had to actually go and get
But you could
script.
Skip the line for $250.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's how big a pill factory that place was. And
of course, she ended up getting addicted, too.
Of course she
did. Why wouldn't she? And the amazing thing about the documentary, I was actually shocked when I saw that she participated in the documentary.
I know.
And then you find out, oh, well, that's why she participated in the documentary.
I know. It was really, the whole thing was pretty sad all around.
Spoiler alert, slap on the wrist. Basically, nothing happened to her, except she had a little karma.
Oh, she had, yeah. She
spelled
had
C-A-R-M-A.
Oh, boy. But the pharmacist, great doc. McMillions, I'm going to watch McMillions tonight.
So great.
I also watched Red Rum.
Oh, is that a Stephen King
It's a Stephen King continuation of The Shining.
Okay.
With Ewan McGregor.
I haven't seen it.
It's 2.5 hours long,
which
was too long for me.
Yeah.
I think people who really love that stuff would probably like it. It's just that, like, I was really into it for about an hour.
Is this Dr. Sleep?
Dr. Sleep?
Oh, is that the name instead of Red Rum? Oh, it's Red Rum. Yeah, Dr. Sleep is the
name. Oh, I thought it was called Red Rum.
Yeah, Dr. Sleep.
You know, and the connection to The Shining, you know, they did a good job explaining it at the beginning and, you know, sort of bringing it up to date. And I thought there were a lot of really interesting things and some interesting visual things, and it was scary, definitely. But I just thought it was too long at 2.5 hours. Just, that is just too long. God, they could have lopped. I swear it could have been 1:50, and it would have been much better.
Huh.
I don't know who thought that needed to be so long. I don't know.
Who thought we needed a follow-up?
Well, the follow-up, I really kind of got into it, and I thought this, you know, they're doing a pretty good job. And Ewan McGregor's great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
There were some other good people in it, too. So it wasn't a total disappointment, except that I could have had the last hour of my life back.
I didn't know that Ewan McGregor plays Danny now.
Dylan. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He plays the kid?
Okay. How about that?
That makes sense.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. I watched another weird movie that premiered on Netflix called Horse Girl with Alison Brie. Only reason I watched this because
Alison Brie. Sure, good reason to watch it.
It's a weird movie. I don't even really know how to explain it. You think it's like this black comedy, but then it turns into this psychological garbage.
I haven't even heard of it.
It just came out. It was meh. Waste your time with it. I'm saving you time if you see it.
By the way, if anybody has recommendations, I get them a lot, especially Netflix, and it's always great because I like to check out new stuff all the time. If you have a great recommendation from Amazon or Hulu or any of those places, drop me an email at Drew at Drew and Mike Podcast, or mail@DrewandMikePodcast, or mark@DrewandMikePodcast, or Brandon at Drew and Mike Podcast. Are you still getting a lot of emails about drops and stuff?
Yeah, I get people who are, hey, check out this story, check out this fart, check out this drop. So I get a ton of that stuff. Keep it coming. Did you end up ever catching the OJ doc that our main man, Norman Pardo?
I have not watched that yet.
Because that's on Amazon, isn't it?
Yeah, for some reason,
it is, yeah.
I don't think about Amazon that often. I bet you there's 5 things on Amazon I'd love, because it's been probably months since I've checked.
Not really.
Okay.
Like it or not, it's over.
I'm excited to play the latest OJ tweet, which is very, he checks in on a very important issue. I don't want to play it yet, but we'll get to it. I promise. It's a really heavy subject.
Oh, great. I love it when he chimes in on heavy subjects.
I know. He's so objective.
Usually when I sit around and I see a news story about like a Thailand shooting, I want to hear, what does OJ Simpson have to say?
God.
Well, it's been quite a week, you know.
God. I've been deep diving some bands lately. What have I been deep diving? Let's see.
Huh.
Well, mostly NXS, because I watched the documentary, and they have a lot of tracks I like. They really do.
Did NXS, the documentary, did it have any part of Rockstar NXS on it?
No, it didn't.
What?
No, it just stuck to Hutchins. It's a Hutchins, Michael Hutchins story. Michael Hutchins, the lead singer of NXS, who died in 1997. He hung himself, or he was
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Having sexual activity.
I thought that was confirmed, that he died jerking it.
No, it's not confirmed.
Same thing with David Carradine.
It's not confirmed. And I'm not going to say what I think necessarily. I thought they did a good job in the documentary. What was really good about the documentary, in my opinion, was, first of all, Michael Hutchins is a fascinating guy because he's such a stud. I mean, women just love this guy. And he lived the high life. He was all about pleasure, drinking, drugging, sexing.
Autoerotic asphyxiation in him.
He had this gorgeous villa in the south of France. Oh, my God, was it cool. And had a big pool. And he was, at that time, living with Helena Christensen.
Oh, she's one of the hottest.
Oh, this gorgeous supermodel.
I think I've told you before, she was the centerpiece of some collage in college. We're topless.
She also had a lot of supermodel friends who used to come over and sunbathe nude at their pool.
Nice.
I know. Because after
they'd
the
be influencers today, and we'd hate their pictures.
We would. We'd despise them. But
I want them to do it. I just don't want to see it every 2 seconds.
The cool part was that Michael Hutchins videotaped a lot of stuff. So did Helena Christensen, and so did Kylie Minogue, his girlfriend before her. Gosh, I really liked it. What's that?
What was her big hit, Kylie Minogue?
You know what? I didn't realize. I know who Kylie Minogue is. You know, it's the first one on. I know what song you're talking about because I bumped into it.
Yeah, here it is.
On Google Play. Yeah, yeah. Huge hit.
I was wondering why you were jamming to this upstairs.
Well, I was trying to remember. I was not jamming.
It was cranked.
No, it wasn't. I'll tell you it was cranked because I'll delay this because it's important. By the way, just a fun fact, a bloop. You know the song Stuck in a Moment?
Yes.
The U2 song?
Yeah,
which Mick Jagger sang with Bono, and they were almost laughing, singing it to each other because it really was funny. And I don't think Mick realized it was funny until they did it. And so they're... Oh, it's a great song, though.
Excellent
I love
song.
That song. It's right after Beautiful Day, I think, on the album.
Great album.
That song is about Michael Hutchins.
It is?
It is.
Why did I think it was an atomic bomb or something? Wasn't that...
Was that from How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb? I thought it was from the Beautiful Day album.
It was, yeah.
Was it? It's a great song.
All That You Can't Leave Behind is the album.
Is this the Mick Jagger version?
No, this is the album version.
Okay. It's a great song either way. I love Mick singing it. Nothing you can throw at me
that I haven't already heard. Did Mick know it was about Michael Hutchins?
I don't know what Mick knew. But that was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame concert.
Yeah.
God, there were some great performances in that
one. Love you, Jagger.
Mick came charging out on stage. God, that was cool. What a presence he has. And Michael Hutchins had the same thing, man. He had an incredible presence. And he really was kind of a hedonist almost. And, you know, Kylie Minogue, when he started dating her, and she was huge at the time, and she's much bigger over there than here. She is just a monster over there. And she, when they met in 89, NXS had put Kick out. Kick had New Sensation, Devil Inside, and Egypt Tonight. I mean, those songs were just huge. And they're still great songs, I think. And that album had come out. And yet when they got together, Kylie Minogue was the pop princess. She was the bigger, more paparazzi sort of person, whereas he was that rock star dude in this band that was just really not, they weren't a very public personality. Michael Hutchins wasn't.
Yeah.
The Ferris brothers are pretty down-to-earth guys, and they're from Australia. So, you know, they had busted the other continents. But they weren't, you know, they were, like, they call them U2 Light, even at their peak. People said, man, they're U2 Light. You know, their songs aren't as anthemic. And
I can see
But they're very good.
This album got so much play on MTV.
Absolutely.
So
no,
much.
And he was perfect for MTV. And X comes out.
Sounds like
out.
You're falling for the guy.
No, he just lived an incredible life. I mean, between.
You like what you see?
The girls were absolutely.
Like someone else is going to be doing autoerotic.
They were the hottest girls. I might. Put it past me. This guy was hot, man. His first girlfriend was Michelle Bennett, who he had known from, I think, high school.
She's blown out in the first sense of fame. Bye-bye.
She lasted 8 years.
What?
And everyone really liked her.
Oh, he liked her because he could probably cheat on her like crazy.
I think he did because he said he had a dick period. Which I've never heard anyone call it a dick period, but he did. And I'm sure that was easy as hell. And they traveled and they toured. And God, NXS worked their ass off.
That's a pretty smart move. I had a dick period. In other words, I'm totally cool now.
Yes.
I'm not going to be a dick anymore. That dick period is well over.
And it suggested it's just a phase. It was just a passing phase.
Period.
It doesn't mean that there was a... vaginal friction going on with tons of different people. That's not the way to look at it. Anyway, NXS was, and this is what I think you find with all these classic rock bands, is they had to gig and gig and gig and gig, and they had to pay huge dues, and that's not something you hear about a lot of stars now.
Yeah. No, well, YouTube. You know, kind of gives them a shortcut.
Yeah, it's a shortcut. It's a shortcut that anyone would take. So I'm not even knocking them for it.
It was American Idol and all those shows.
That was a little more annoying.
That was a shortcut. And now it's,
but NXS started out as the Ferris Brothers in 77. They became NXS in 1979. By 81, They were doing 300 shows a year.
Oh, my God.
300 shows. And then in 84, they had been kind of a, I think they were, maybe they dressed a little femmy. How else to put it?
Yeah. Okay.
They said something about putting the blouses away. It's like, well, you know, they weren't the New York Dolls. They weren't, you know, remember those bands that cross-dressed? Yeah. There were a lot of them.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they went that far, but they took on more of a rock look, and they were just more of a rock band. Even though they were really a soul, funk band too, they really rocked when things started happening. And the one thing, what year was the one thing from? God, that's a great song.
Power Pop.
There's kids out there that love this stuff.
I might go
of all that's Power Pop.
I might just pop them in there with Power Pop because their songs are very catchy. They're very melodic. I mean, Power Pop does, I think, encompass a lot of bands. And when, you know, when the girl Natalie sent her list of all those songs, new wave songs or new wave-ish songs that should be on the radio, I noticed that she leans, and she admitted this, she leans more goth.
Mm.
And I was thinking, well, she didn't include this song. She didn't include that. And I realized, oh, I'm talking about songs by, for example, Split Enz, who were a new wave band that eventually turned into Crowded House.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very melodic. Very melodic.
And she was more into actual, like, gothic rock and roll. Like,
I'm Fifi LaRue, the gothic killer clown of rock and roll.
I get it.
I think she likes it a little harder than I do. I like the power pop end of new wave. And there were some punk bands that were even, I mean, the Sex Pistols had great hooks on their songs. But NXS was really a combination. They had a lot of good things going. They combined it beautifully. And the one thing, God, what year was that? That was a great song. Anyway, by 84, they were starting to make it in other countries, and they were touring. And then 87, when Kick came out, it just, whammo!
The one thing was 82.
The one thing was 82.
Said, yeah.
It's a great song. Can you play the one thing?
Yep.
Great song. Is that the song Jimmy Barnes is
back
on?
Back in 82.
One thing.
There you go, yeah.
I think Jimmy Barnes plays on it.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin 4 miles.
I think most people know this song. It's kind of a classic rock staple, isn't it?
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains?
I don't know it.
You don't know this song?
Not
really?
Yet.
Crank it.
God, it sounds like another song.
I mean, does it sound like NXS to you?
Not really.
No?
The
dang.
Because when I think of NXS, I think of Kick.
Yeah, I generally do too. But they had a couple tracks before Kick that people knew about. I don't know. That's one of my favorite NXS songs.
Sounds like an Oingo Boingo song to me. I can't think of what it is, though.
Well, it's 1982, so there's another early song, too, that was a pretty big hit.
Back in 82.
Let's see. Is it Don't Change? Was that earlier in excess? Don't Change? You know, do you not know that song? I'm getting too deep here. Wait, Disappear. Original Sin.
Don't Change is...
Oh, Good Times with Jimmy Barnes. That was... Don't Change. I want to say it's an earlier song.
Don't Change is also back in 82.
Okay.
Back in 82.
I would think you don't know this song?
Not yet.
I thought I was hearing Lunatic Fringe for a second. Why is Lunatic Fringe something every classic rock station in the world plays? And I like the song.
I hate it.
I just got tired of it. No?
I don't recognize.
No?
That.
Really?
Oh.
Man.
Well, I was...
Play a little bit more.
I was 6 years old.
I saw people play it later.
I'm standing here on the ground. The sky above won't fall down.
Yeah!
Seeing no evil in all directions.
crank it up to the hook. Nope. All right. Well, they did have those early songs that Mark doesn't know and Brandon doesn't know, but they were.
It sounds
were,
like a number one hit tune, all right.
They were getting somewhere.
It's not a bad song.
No. And then Kick and then X
yeah.
with Suicide Blonde, mm-hmm. Disappear. There's another big song on that. Actually, I might like X more than Kick, believe it or not.
What?
Yeah, I know.
You're just saying that to be cool.
Maybe I am. I think I had the X CD, and the Kick stuff was just played so much.
A lot, yeah.
And I thought X was really good. And then Michael Hutchence, it was interesting in the doc where they're at some event, and Brandon... Is that some disdain for Michael? For my friend Michael?
Yeah, show
my
some
handsome friend Michael?
Show some respect.
Honestly, I never even listened to the tunes. I just knew when he died jerking it. That's all I knew of him. I never really got into the band itself.
But you know those songs, don't you? Or no?
I know the one that you played first. The that, ding, 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 that song, because it sounds like a porno.
Doom, doom, doom.
Yeah, but aside from that...
La, 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 la. New sensation.
La, 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 la.
Do you know this one?
La, 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 la.
Gotta know this song. No?
Wow. Now I feel old.
I really don't. I knew he jerked off. Did you hear he was masturbating, trying to hang himself to get a bigger orgasm, and he passed out and died.
You know this one? Can't take it
all. La, 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 la. No, I don't.
Need you tonight?
Wow.
I know those songs were monstrous.
Now maybe, I know how you feel.
You know. Now that I think about it, do rock stations still play NXS?
Oh, God, no.
Why wouldn't they?
Well, it's classic rock now, but they don't even seem to play it.
But isn't NXS classic? I don't know. Maybe,
no, it is, but...
But for some reason, it's... Yeah, right it, they didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
They didn't make the cut like Great White and White Snake.
Rock and roll!
I don't know why I pick on Great White and
Wasn't
White
Snake. Wasn't this a big song too, Heaven Sent? Welcome to Wherever You Are. That was a pretty big album.
No, you know what? That was the down. That was when it started going downhill.
Really?
Yeah. I know, of course, a lot of people love this album. It was not as big.
Now you're talking 92 when grunge just killed everything.
Huh? Exactly. And... To their credit, they kept the course. They were like, look, we are what we are. We've been working so hard for 15 years. But they made a mistake when this record came out, and I don't think it got played a lot, or not like the previous two.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to do a small club tour, like a, hey, let's do one for the fans. And
oops.
At the same time they're doing this, that's when U2 is doing those bigger than ever tours. And, you know, the stadium tours are coming and the Stones are these huge events.
U2 is so ridiculous, but they seem to make all the right moves.
Yeah, they did. Until the Apple move, they did a lot of things right. They really did.
But they just like doing things bigger, 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 bigger.
Yeah, and NXS, it wasn't that they couldn't draw 15,000 people.
Yeah.
They were a big draw on the road. But they were kind of burned out by that thing, and they thought, we got to do something different because this album isn't doing that well. And the small club tour, I guess the perception was, oh, they can't draw a crowd anymore.
Oh,
yeah, it was a big mistake, and their manager pointed that out because to him it was a bigger mistake because he gets a percentage. And I don't think he liked it at all. But around this time, Michael Hutchence, who... this part annoyed me. He was really into being an artist, and I'm an artist. I'm not just a lead singer, but I'm an artist, and I wear crazy clothes, and I like art. And
so he went from his dick face to his deep face.
Yeah, he was always, yeah, as NXS grew, he did become so deep. And that's why these relationships keep, I mean, when you're with Helena Christensen, and actually that first girlfriend.
Well, it's all downhill from that one. It really it is not. Come on.
She was one of the later ones.
Oh, my God. He's so deep.
I mean, you're not going to do any better than Helena Christensen.
No, you're not. Michelle Bennett, I have to tell you, was beautiful.
No,
she was really pretty. No, she was not Helena Christensen, but she was not that far from her. And Michelle Bennett was, he was much younger. They had a ton in common. People thought they were, they'll never break up. But then the dick period came in and the traveling, and they did break up. And in fact, though, the interesting thing is the last night he lived, he had been up 48 hours.
Oh.
And they ran down his phone log.
Wow.
He kept calling people. He was constantly on the phone. Michael Hutchins did not like to be alone.
Really?
And he was alone.
Unless
he was,
he's masturbating while hanging himself.
Well, he did that because
he was
alone.
We don't know that for a fact. He may have hung himself. He was very depressed.
Let's go. Well,
can we just go with
the autoerotic something to this conversation? I just want to let you know that David Carradine, also a famous person, died from autoerotic asphyxiation. Albert Decker.
Brandon, there's a whole list of people that died from
Albert Decker, who was a politician and an actor back in the day. He died of...
well, look at that guy. Yep, of course he had
exactly.
to. Not that handsome man.
Michael Hutchins is listed as somebody who also did that. Stephen Milligan, who was a journalist back in the day. How about Kevin Gilbert? He was a musician. He did it too. And then some dude named Franz de Kawatsa. So,
wow, that guy's old. He's so old, there's no picture. It's a drawing.
I know it.
How did they know he did that? How did even people knew what that was when that guy was alive?
There was
no electricity.
They walked in the room and the guy was hanging there with his wiener in his hand, and that's probably
no. He was nude with a belt around his neck.
It used to be called Katsuwara disease. Now it's autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah.
It was originally named after that guy.
Yeah, that guy's so
old. Did it in 1791.
You know how they know? It's because he died in front of a woman. He was at like a whorehouse. He paid her money, and then he tied a noose around his neck. He proceeded to engage with her.
What?
Yeah.
Brandon, you know a lot about this topic.
I'm telling you, this is my contribution.
I'm so curious. I want you to be careful.
Wait a sec. What's wrong with that horse? She couldn't save him? As he's choking himself?
Yeah, why didn't she pull him down?
Yeah. Or
I don't know. It's crazy.
I don't know.
But it's like she's in it for the money.
Huge orgasms.
But anyway, Brandon is
try it, Brandon.
Brandon is so into and so curious about these giant orgasms people are getting that he interrupted me when I was trying to tell you that Michelle Bennett, his first girlfriend, who is a video producer and a movie producer, and she's done really well for herself. He had just talked to her on the phone.
Microfiche.
Oh, because he wanted to think about banging her again?
Well, that's kind of what I thought, but I don't know. He just kept calling people. It was like he couldn't be with himself. And that was something that was true his entire life. The Ferris brothers said he spent more time at our house because he was the only child when his mother and father split. And the father took the brother to America and he stayed in Australia with the mother. So he didn't like being alone. So he was at the Ferris's house, they said, all the time. It was almost like he lived there.
Hmm.
And he also suffered from depression, yeah. Which is really strange. Michael Hutchins, and I know people that don't understand depression go, Michael Hutchins, was banging everybody. He could bang anybody. Yeah. He was in this big band. Well, depression is insidious.
That's why he's depressed. He probably got turned down by a hot chick.
And, you know, making those phone calls, that is an indicator. One of the biggest, and here I go making it about me. One of the biggest things that in my youth that really affected me was I had a friend who had called me a bunch of times one day, and I missed the phone calls. This is, I think, before I had a cell phone, so he was calling the landline.
Was there a blow-off issue, or no, you just missed him?
I had worked with him like right out of high school, so I must have had a cell phone of some sort.
This isn't Circus Kirkus, is it?
No.
Okay.
No. And he had gotten fired for punching some guy in the face, and then a couple days later, he must not have my cell phone number. I come home, my dad said, hey, you got to call this guy. He called like 4 times today. And I didn't call him, and then the next morning I found out he had hung himself that night.
Boy.
And that was, I don't know. So sometimes.
What kind of job did he have when he punched somebody?
We were working at a warehouse.
Did he punch somebody at work?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
And then I talked to a buddy, and he said, yeah, he called me too. I missed the phone call. And so that's one of those things when people are
it's
reaching out
fault,
like that.
Though.
I know, but when people are reaching out like that, it's maybe a good indicator that they just need someone to be there for them.
Yeah, but isn't it more fun to think that Hutchins was doing this just to get off?
Well, Brandon likes it because Brandon's so curious about it. But
what's the speculation?
How dismissive of me.
Okay, listen. Famous people hang themselves a lot. This
they
happens.
Do.
But rarely is it saying, hey, by the way, he was also beaten up. Why is Michael Hutchins and David Carradine, why are those two at the forefront?
Because he's so hot.
Yeah, it was, you know.
There must have been a reason why people thought he was doing it.
His last girlfriend. Paula Yates.
Yes.
She refused to believe that he hung himself. because she had just had his child, Tiger Lily Hutchins.
Just like, isn't that Depp's kid's name?
I think so.
Yeah.
Which one was born first?
Actually, her actual name is Heavenly Harani Tiger Lily Hutchins. That's the full
name. Great name.
Oh, boy.
Heavenly Harani Tiger Lily Hutchins. Geldof.
Yeah, she, and this is pretty cool. Pauly Yates, who hosted, let me just start with Michelle Bennett. She was the first girl, main babe, you know, for 7-8 years. And she's the last phone call he made was to her. They talked on the phone. He said, please come over. She got to the hotel. She couldn't leave right away, but she left in about an hour and a half, I think. And she was there within 2 hours. She knocked on the door, no answer. Hey, what's, is he, you know, isn't he in the room? And they went in the room and he was dead.
Now, what's interesting is he was in a kneeling position when he hung himself. Is that true? Did they talk about that?
I think they did, actually.
This story says that he was found in a kneeling position facing the door. So, I mean, it's just clear that Clinton's killed him then. Because you you can't hang yourself from something that low.
It's possible. Well, Aaron Hernandez.
When you're trying to achieve that O, then what you're not going to stand up. He wanted that huge orgasm.
Let's just say that it was one or the other, and we're not going to figure it out here. Because otherwise, Brandon is not going to get—he's not going to get his mind off this. Brandon is dying to have that giant orgasm.
Okay, so she arrives too late.
She arrives too late, and he's found dead. She was the first girlfriend, but 10 years later, he's calling her, and it seems like all these ex-girlfriends. First of all, because he's Michael Hutchins, and he's so hot, and you know, he's pretty.
12 years.
Pretty interesting guy, but he drinks too much. He smokes too much. He
too much heroin.
Takes a lot of drugs. Yeah, he's into heroin, cocaine, big time ecstasy. Huge ecstasy taker. So, you know, it sounds...
Was that in his system when he died? All
I don't remember
stuff?
If it was in his system. There were a bunch of drugs in his system when he died, though. But I'm staying away from the death. Otherwise, Brandon's going to pop right back in with this giant orgasm thought. So he moves on to... The pop princess Kylie Minogue in 89, nice. Last 2 years with her, lots of video of them. And I got to tell you, they look so happy. And I know Facebook and social media, people always look happy, but this was personal video. And I thought it was really good. It was like, I don't know, it was very, I couldn't help feeling melancholy watching it. No matter who the girl was, they looked happy as hell. And he looked happy. And Kylie Minogue was a bigger star in a weird way than he was, at least more paparazzi, kind of everyone wants to know every little thing about her. And he enters that world, and it's pretty crazy, but nonetheless, she's this girl next door type, you know, this good girl, and all of a sudden she meets rock star bad boy, and things get pretty wild. And she said, yeah, we tried everything. I totally trusted him. I felt protected by him, even though the way I was
what
like,
a gamer.
Wow, he really corrupted that chick. But she said, yeah. She said that, you know, he opened up a whole new world to me sexually, which is sexually. Wow. I wouldn't want to be her husband now.
Why not? Think of all the things she does.
Well, that's true.
Who cares if Hutchins isn't coming back to take her?
Well, I saw this story about, where did I see? Oh, I didn't want to say where I saw it, but okay. It was 90 Day Fiancé. And this girl goes, this psycho chick goes to Australia to meet this guy she met online. And after like 3 days, this girl's a horror show. After like 3 days, she's like, I don't like you anymore. I'm going out. And she goes out
by
her.
Let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
I think she took her stuff and went to another hotel. And then goes out to party by herself, meets this bartender, falls in love with him immediately.
Wow.
Yeah. And she stays there. I think she stayed there a couple months. They come home because they're both coming to the U.S. so that they can get married in 90 days. They have a 90-day visa for him. So if they don't get married by the last day, then he has to go back. Mm-hmm. Well, this chick is one of these new age chicks, like, hey, I'm all about self-improvement. And I know for all her self-improvement, she doesn't do shit. She doesn't have a job. She lives in a shed behind her mom's house.
She shed?
Jesus.
And she's a total disaster.
Nice zero, yeah.
Total fucking disaster. And her sister even said, when she talked to her, she's like, yeah, I met this guy, and he's really nice, and he's from Australia, and we're going to come over here, and we're going to get married. And her sister says, have you informed him that you basically decide everything in the relationship?
Oh.
I was already getting that vibe. Anyway, Sinjin is his name. He comes over here. And within 2 weeks, she's like, well, we got to get married in 90 days. We got to start planning. And why don't you take this carpentry course so you can get started on your career? And he's like, I can't work for 6 months. So, and she's all like, no, why don't you take this? Why don't you take it now? I'm going for this self-improvement thing in Hawaii. It's some stupid thing. I forget what it's for. She's totally into self-help. And there's all these girls there, and they're all about each other and, you know, making yourself great. Even though you don't do anything. Then she comes back. They got like 30 days left. And the second day she gets back, they're in this huge fight. And she tells him that he's really not her soulmate.
Oh, what's Sinjin supposed to do?
Sinjin is completely... This is a good question for the show, I think.
Get him out of here.
Poor Sinjin.
She says that she had something with somebody, you know, two boyfriends ago that was so deep.
What?
Which with her sounds hideous. I wouldn't want to be her soulmate because that would mean you're into
you're
so
terrible,
much stupid shit.
You have to go to self-help and,
yeah,
and treatments.
You got to put aside 3 months a year to go improve yourself somewhere with a bunch of other idiots.
Yeah, no thanks. I would just say,
like it or not, it's over.
I would be shocked if she wasn't in Nexium. She must have been in Nexium at some point. Anyway, so this guy's like, wait, I'm not your soulmate. What do you mean? And so he's like, now he wants to go home. He's like, should I go home or should I marry her? I do love her.
I need to go home.
And I don't know. I just think she's fucking with him. I just think she likes having the upper hand. Because when she was at her stupid thing in, she's in an island somewhere. She would call and she'd go, yeah, and the girls and I are going out drinking. And he'd go, well,
that's
could you?
How he met Sinjin, right?
Wasn't right, exactly. And he would say, well, can you call me when you get back? It'll just make me feel better. I know you got home safe. And she'd go, I get so wasted. I can't always remember to do that.
Huh.
And they get in these huge fights. And then the final time, she's out getting wasted. And she calls him. And she's like, I'm so wasted. We're having a ball. And she admits that, oh, I like to flirt with guys, too. It's fun because I get to flirt with people. And so he's like, okay, you know, I know you're drunk. I can tell. Please call me when you get back. And she just absolutely refuses to do that. She just keeps saying, I don't know. I'll do the best I can. And of course, she doesn't. She doesn't. Then she comes home and, you're not my soulmate. So
it's awful.
What a fucking position to be in.
I'm on Team Sinjin.
I'm on Team Sinjin.
Hashtag Team Sinjin.
So anyway, Hutchins and Kylie Minogue.
Forgot about this part. Yeah.
Who is not his soulmate.
Yes.
They
did he Sinjin her?
I don't know what he did to her.
Not getting back to her, making out with some other chick.
I couldn't figure out why he and the first girl broke up. Then I couldn't figure out why did he break up with her.
She probably caught him jerking it with a noose around his neck
for that big orgasm.
I've heard
about
his relationships all go south. There's some point of no return in all of them. I think he has more than one dick. Period. To be honest, that's what
I'm
guessing.
If we're gonna have sex, that's all it is.
He travels. Period. You know, he tours. She tours,
you know what I'm.
She comes to New York, and she said she basically told him that this is going so badly. We have to end this thing. And she said that he cried for hours.
What?
He was on the floor crying for hours.
Oh.
And that, I think, is his depression.
She said he's a pussy.
And she looked so likable in these. I don't know. She just, something seems so nice about her.
She's allowed to leave.
I know.
Man up.
Anyway, it sounded to me like it was sort of he's depressed. And then, you know, he takes a lot of drugs, too. And then
did she put out once he started crying?
I don't think so.
Like for a
really
retail.
Don't. He might
man up. Stop crying.
So
here's a clip from the documentary.
My longest relationship was like 6 months, and then she farted in her sleep. I'm like, I'm out of here, man. I was gone before she woke up.
By the way, Kylie Minogue and Michael Hutchins got in the Mile High Club, which she told us on a Qantas flight, under a blanket. With the Australian Prime Minister sitting next to them.
What? Oh,
you ever joined the Mile High Club?
Come on, he knew. He was just he was enjoying the show.
It sounds like he
watched. Enjoying the in-flight entertainment.
So then,
why did she have to point that out?
I don't know. Just because they were, because she was saying, you know, here I was, this girl next door, this pop singer, and next thing I turned into this wild child because of Michael.
What's he doing up there?
And because I trusted him, and I felt he protected me, and you know, meanwhile she admitted that she tried a lot of drugs and they had a lot of sex.
No, no, no. I understand that, but why did she have to bring the prime minister into the story?
I don't know. I, you know, the prime minister might have actually made. Pointed this out to someone who passed it on to someone. Anyway, she verified
it. But does it matter if it's the prime minister, if it's some traveling salesman? I mean, what's the difference?
Well, it just shows that
he gets more respect on a flight, so two people are banging.
She needed penile friction for Michael Hutchins so bad, she didn't care that the prime. I don't care if the prime minister of Australia is sitting next to us. Okay. I got to be on that thing.
Here's the actual audio from the prime minister.
No, I want you two to kiss each other.
No, if you want actual audio, I went through and I dumped down a bunch of my favorite clips from this documentary. It is a great documentary. I didn't know much about NXS, but I learned a ton. So here's Michael. Here he is when the I think this is during one of the recording sessions when he got there.
Yo, everyone jerked off again this weekend, right?
Okay. Let's make sure everyone's beaten off.
Yeah, let's see. Here he is again during a break of the recording.
Let's go to the bathroom and climax into that thin toilet paper.
That must have been the early days before they could afford two-ply.
That's when he was drinking more. His voice is lower.
Yeah, here's where he was wasted.
You should see me have sex with myself.
Yeah, and then here's people that were mad at him. They didn't want him to do that. They were worried that he was going to die from autoerotic asphyxiation, like this one.
Trying to give you a dick in Indian burn.
Yeah, and then this one.
What are you doing, playing pocket-pooler, son?
This is very disrespectful.
Yeah, I think
but he liked
the reason
it.
He left his foot out of the movie.
Pretty erotic. After all, the, you know, the palm is the vagina of the hand.
He liked it.
Helena Christensen comes along. Lots of video about her. They seem wildly in love. That's when he has the villa in France with the supermodels sunbathing nude. And I'm like, this. How can this life be over? Yeah. This life is the greatest. I mean, I know he suffers from depression, and I do understand that. But
well, that just goes to show if it can happen to him.
Yeah,
he's
no,
depressed
it does.
In the south of France with Helena Christensen and all her nude friends.
It does show the insidiousness of depression.
Balance, yeah.
So. What happens is one night they are in a small town in France and there's some dispute between a cabbie and Michael who's on a bicycle. And that's so stupid. And he doesn't want to get out of this guy's way for some reason. So the guy gets out of the cab, punches him, and he knocks him out. And she said he just went right down and his head hit the curb.
Oh,
what kind of bike do you have?
So this is the origin.
That's
of,
what she.
I
gotta tell you.
The French.
He sounds pretty depressed and pretty impulsive before this happened. But when this happened, the guys in the band, the producer, the manager, they all said something just didn't seem right about him. And Helena Christensen tells this story. And this story is so dumb. She says, yeah, it's so bad. And, you know, I call for an ambulance and the ambulance gets there. They take him away. He's in the hospital. He's out. And he finally comes to and they're like, you know, you really hit your head hard. We're getting some tests done and blah, blah, blah. And he says, no, I don't want to be in the hospital. I'm Michael Hutchinson. I'm so hot. I got to go out and be hot somewhere. And so.
You guys got a rope I can borrow real quick?
They're really, you know.
For masturbatory purposes.
Of course, Brandon. I knew what that was.
Solely.
He has to leave. And they're like, no, you have to stay. And eventually she said he just had, you know, whatever his will was going to be. Yeah. And he left the hospital.
Because he has no one to tell him no. Right?
No,
he has no
exactly.
one to check him.
No, no one does. And so she takes him home, upon which she says he starts throwing up and he's getting headaches.
Oh, God, he's got a concussion, man.
Yeah, no, he's got brain damage. When he died, they determined that he had actual brain damage. And in fact, he lost.
Quiet.
Sorry.
It's okay, Lily.
A beautiful dog.
I'll take her upstairs. He becomes more impulsive. He refuses to go to the hospital. She's dying to take him to the hospital. Wow. Dude, you're throwing up. You got, you know, all this going on. You can't smell. You can't taste food. And she said, for 30 days it went on like this. Just, he was sick, he was throwing up, all of a sudden I'm like, why didn't you just call an ambulance, let them fight him? But she didn't, and eventually he goes to see a surgeon.
Well, if he's not going if he's not going to go to the hospital with her asking him to, if an ambulance showed up, he'd find a way
probably
to fight
that, too. Yeah, and it just was weird, though. And he goes to this surgeon in France, and I guess they discussed what was wrong with him and what the options were. I never did determine what the surgeon did, but, you know, not only were all these things going on, the throwing up and all that, but when he was actually picked up by the ambulance, he was bleeding from his ears and his mouth.
Oh,
I mean, it sounded like it was really a blow. And he got together with the band shortly after that, and they said, you know, the mood swings were just, you know, he couldn't, it seemed like his thoughts were incomplete. He was easily distracted. He had these mood swings. He had insomnia. He couldn't sleep. And it just sounded like he was a mess.
Did he keep his habit up?
His habit?
Drug habit?
All the time.
It seemed that his drug habit actually ratcheted up, although he'd had this insane period where he himself said, oh, I had my ecstasy period, where it sounded like he was taking it all the time.
This guy really,
I know, he was.
He really had chapters of his life in his own head.
This guy was the pleasure king. What if it was pleasure? Well, he was there.
Kind of helps Brandon's theory of how he died.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Anyway, he and Helena Christensen split up, which is like, what? And before they split up, INXS has that album After X, which should be, you know, another just blow up and another massive tour. They do the small club tour, and then things are not looking up exactly. And then the other band member said they were at some event with him, and he comes in with his hair cut off, his hair is really short, and some stupid-looking glasses. And it's like, oh, it's over. One of them actually said, it's over.
Well,
Michael's trying to make himself look stupid, and we just did a small club tour.
He pulled a Kerry Russell.
And, Kerry Russell, you're right.
He cut his hair and it's over.
And?
Like it or not, it's over.
He has a side project.
Really?
Yeah, some really artsy-fartsy.
Boy, that must have bombed.
It did bomb. It did nothing. So, he does, shortly after this, go on the, what's that show in England? The Big Morning, the Big Mattress, Big Morning show that Polly Yates was doing. Polly Yates had been on British TV for a long time. She was a big hit on, she was Bob Geldof's wife.
Yeah.
Geldof met her when she was 17. Yeah. They were married for 20 years. They had three girls, and she's his age, and she's hosting this morning show, which is hosted on, she hosted on a bed. She's actually on a bed. Yeah. And the guest is on the bed too.
Great.
Except when Michael is on the bed, it gets crazy flirtatious to the point that anyone watching thinks, oh my God, those two, there's something going on there.
The Big Breakfast, it's called.
Okay. And quickly, there is something going on there. Yeah. In fact, it sounds like there had already been something going on because she had...
this is right under Geldof's eyes. And
sounds
nose.
Like it.
Oh boy, he was probably digging it.
After I saw more about Polly Yates, I decided that Geldof, he probably was delighted. Oh, my God, she's busy with him? Fuck her. I got stuff to do anyway. And they've been together since she was 17.
Yeah.
He
was done.
She had met him in 89, I think. And the people she worked with said, yeah, she started traveling all over. She wanted to see INXS here, INXS there, INXS here, INXS there. So it sounded like there was... And that's why, as this thing wore on, I got worn out on being told how wonderful this guy was because he sounded like he was pretty out of fucking control to me. I don't know how it didn't get exposed sooner. INXS somehow was just a little bit under the radar because they were U2 light.
Yeah, and they're from Australia,
And they had the two big albums, and the next one didn't do as well, and they did a small tour. And so things are going kind of, you know, for a guy who's got as much going for him as he does and being 34 years old... It just seems like, you know, when you've had that high.
That's
and
how
now,
old he was when he died?
No, he's 37.
Oh, okay.
But when
still,
all this seems... happened. And so Polly Yates, next thing you know, they're everywhere together. And it's like, you know, paparazzi's going crazy because she's still married to Geldof. And then it's like, yeah, we are together. Fuck Geldof. And she's... Polly Yates, it sounded to me like she was a lot like Kylie Minogue. She wasn't a big partier. She wasn't a drugger. But all of a sudden, she is. She's kind of out of control. For somebody 37 years old she would have been 34, 35. At this, I think she's a year older, a half year older than him, who has three daughters. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? I mean, at least get... And Bob is a knight. Bob is beloved. And
he did, didn't he do U.S. or Aid for Africa? Wasn't that him? Did he have a big cheer? What was his big...
Well, Live Aid.
Live Aid.
Yeah. That was a miraculous event. It'd never been done. It'd never been anything like that. And then he did do the other one, which is 777, was it? Or
Oh, the 888
or yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was a great. I mean, he did a fantastic job. He's great at that. And the Boomtown Rats have been big.
Hates Mondays.
And the Boomtown Rats were big when Paula met him. She was kind of a groupie type, I guess, but she just fell for Geldof. And then, you know, three kids later, and then, you know, it's getting a little stale. And, oh, here's Michael Hutchence, and he likes her. And I, personally, I thought she was – this is terrible. I thought the other girls were hotter, the ones before her.
Oh, yeah. Kylie Minogue and Helena Christensen, way hotter than Paula
Yates. Everyone says Paula Yates just has this something. It's just this something.
She's in the ass. Got to be it.
Well, that, I mean, that could be something, technically.
It's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than that.
And a child custody thing breaks out.
Oh, great.
Because they're getting divorced. Mm-hmm. And she wants the kids, and he wants the kids more than most fathers do. I think he wanted at least equal. Mm-hmm. And she didn't want it to be equal. And then he sees that, you know, this new boyfriend of yours, it seems a little bit wild. And it seems like he's changing you too, because you don't seem like you got your shit together either. And in fact, somebody who was a nanny actually called some tip line and said, yeah, I work for Paula Yates and she lives with this Michael Hutchence and they got a lot of drugs in the house. Yeah. And so they busted them.
Well, I feel like we're bearing the lead because she died from...
Not before he died.
No. But no, because she infamously put heroin in his coffin.
I know.
As a nice goodbye. But then she died of a heroin overdose.
In 2000.
In 2000, yeah. Okay.
So who took over the child? The Geldof?
Bob Geldof raised... Okay, well, you guys are getting ahead of me. She had a baby with Michael Hutchence in 96, Tiger Lily. This is when I get annoyed at these things. Is like, he loves Tiger Lily more than anything. It's all he talks about is Tiger Lily. I mean, Tiger Lily, Tiger Lily. It's just, there's nothing in the world but Tiger Lily to Michael Hutchence. But he keeps doing heroin and he keeps doing cocaine and they keep getting fucked up all the time. And Geldof does not want her taking the kids to Australia where he is. And so, you know, that becomes another court battle. There's court battle after court battle. They're in the tabloids all the time because they're just the it couple.
Nightmare.
Because he's a stud and she's this beautiful girl. And she was married to Bob Geldof. And he becomes a tabloid debacle. Just a total debacle. And In Excess puts out another album around that time, which bombs. And so, really...
Who cares?
A lot is going wrong, but I, you know, as I'm watching this, I would have been thinking, oh, but he loves his daughter so much. So he's got family now, and he loves her daughters, and so on and so forth.
That makes for a better story, where it was all downhill, and it got better, and then...
And then, yeah.
Masturbating.
He, like Brandon, he had an opportunity to have this humongous orgasm, and he was endlessly curious about it, as Brandon is.
What?
Or he committed suicide. We don't know. But he was on the phone all night. He was talking to Bob Geldof that night.
Really?
He was arguing with Bob Geldof for 45 minutes on the phone. And Geldof is saying, listen, I'm just worried about
45
my kids.
Minutes.
It's got nothing to do with, I don't have anything against you. I don't even have anything against her. I just don't want my kids in a shitty environment that doesn't seem conducive and so on and so forth. Well, Hutchence dies however he died. And then Paula Yates, who is just completely vanquished by this, because when you're in love with Michael Hutchence, you're more in love than anyone in the world. Both of you are. He really isn't, but you are. In fact, every girl is devastated beyond belief when it's over with Michael Hutchence. Even when they dump him, they're devastated. So she continues down her horrible path, and then one day Tiger Lily calls. I think Tiger Lily called 911 and said, yeah, my mom won't wake up. Or somebody was looking for Tiger Lily, and she answered the door, and she said, yeah, my mom won't wake up. And they're like, uh-oh. And sure enough, Paula Yates OD'd. So Sir Bob raises all four girls, doesn't even tell Tiger Lily that he's not her father because she's very young.
That.
Yeah, and at some point he did. And
you are not the father.
And honestly, it sounds to me like they're all really good kids, and they were...
Well, except Peaches.
Peaches died. Yeah,
Peaches died.
Oh, what happened? Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
Heroin overdose.
God.
Mm-hmm.
But Tiger Lily, that was the main point. Tiger Lily sounds like she's doing well, although And she went to college. She graduated from college. I think one of the other ones, or maybe both of them, graduated from college. So they're at least on some track.
Now, how old is she now?
Tiger Lily's 23 now, I think.
Is she an influencer yet?
I don't think she is. I think she's kind of under the radar.
She has to have an Instagram.
She's very under the radar.
And she's adorable. She's gorgeous, of course. But this part, I just can't even get used to this.
Oh, I found her on Instagram.
How many followers?
At least a hashtag for her, I'm sorry. So, yeah, that's a little misleading. Maybe she doesn't have a footprint anywhere. A cute kid.
Anyway, she has never received a cent of Michael Hutchence money. She is his only offspring.
Who is it?
Well, it seems that when she was very little, somehow, I don't know if it's his manager, someone negotiated with someone to buy Michael's income streams.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like the Michael Vick story, yeah. Someone paid a lump sum of money to Paula Yates, probably, because she was alive for another 4 years. Yeah. And so Tiger Lily's supposed to get all this money at 18. Nothing. 21. Nothing. Yeah. Give me 25.
Geldof's worth $150 million. It's fine. Yeah, she's fine.
I don't think she's really worth it. And not only that, she is not going to marry a swinging dick that doesn't make a shit ton of money.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know her, but I would think any swinging dick that isn't worth eight figures, get away.
She was 22. She was dating a 30-year-old guy. He was a rocker. I'm just saying.
It's not that old.
I'm just saying. What?
Not that old. When you're 22, it's a significant difference.
I don't know if they're still together, though.
But I'm not kidding. I would watch it. I would watch it again. And I think as far as Rock Docs, I thought it was really good. I just thought it was... You know, the video's nice. It's an incredible story. It's like this charmed life. I mean, you just can't believe how charmed it looks. Yeah. And you know, you're talking about the very best-looking people in the world, and somehow, you know, it all goes south. And I don't know. It's hard to understand. And maybe that fall or that punch out, maybe it was the punch out. I don't know. I don't think
so. On Instagram.
How many followers?
It's private, and it's only got 440 followers, so she's not trying to be an influencer. But I found her boyfriend's Instagram.
And this guy, what does this swinging dick do? He's got to have a good job.
Here's a video, I think.
Oh, he's a rock star. Of course he's a rock star.
So I'm taking a video of her, and she's just dancing around. She looks like, wow.
So I think if there's a lesson in this entire documentary, it's that big O's not worth it. That big O.
How do you know?
Not worth it. But
you don't have any comment from him about how great it was.
Think of all the times he had it, though, and he didn't die, Brandon.
Yeah, never told me.
As much as you want it, maybe you could do it more safely.
Try it.
Everybody, be quiet.
Michael's
about to masturbate.
Just kill him.
Check off. Yeah, 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 exactly.
She's a cute lady, and this guy, I don't know, I'm just saying, she could do better than this dude, whoever this guy is.
Yeah. This is what people used to always ask him.
Who's your favorite little rascal? Alfalfa? Or is it Spanky?
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. Brandon, how far in are we?
2.5 hours.
Wow, okay, yeah. Well, at least we don't have to see the documentary now. Don't tell him I said that, narcs. I found it very interesting. I find that band very interesting. I find him very interesting.
Not me. Unfortunately, they were just past my time, I guess.
Yeah, but the story's pretty fascinating. I mean, it's better than, say, Meghan and Harry, right?
I guess. I don't know.
By the way, they had a big weekend, Meghan and Harry.
Who cares?
Did you see what happened to them?
Aren't they just parading around the U.S. right now?
They're in Miami, and they were giving a speech. I guess they, meaning both of them, were giving a speech for J.P. Morgan Chase.
That's right. Weren't they hanging out with a pretty big couple?
Yeah, J-Lo and A-Rod. How much do you think J.P. Morgan Chase allegedly paid them to give a speech at the Alternative Investment Summit, whatever that is? There were 425 people there.
I'm going to guess $250,000.
$1 million.
Oh, my God.
$1 million to see, you know, this former prince who really isn't in line for the crown at all, and
he's in line, harlot. But he's like, what, fifth now?
Oh, yeah, he abdicated his position. He quit.
I know, but if something were to happen, they'd let him back in. But he's too far now because it's Charles, then...
But what a waste of money. $1 million to hear them speak to 425 people who included, you know, A-Rod, J-Lo, Magic Johnson was there, Robert Kraft. Do you think they really were excited to hear those idiots talk anyway?
So this is what they're going to do now, is they're just going to parade around, get paid tons of money to do a minor speech here, minor speech there. They're stupid.
Well, he's got
to
pay for his hair treatment, though. That was another story over the weekend.
Hair plugs? Is he getting hair plugs? He's not losing it like his brother.
Yeah, well, because he underwent hair thickening at age 35.
What's his brother's name? Why can't I remember his brother's name?
William?
Oh, yeah, William.
That is. Okay. He really has superseded his brother in terms of interest. Because at least from America, nobody really cares.
They're about turning it into a Walmart with a crown on it.
Thank you.
$3 million and a 26-bedroom home isn't enough for them.
The other exciting couple that we haven't even got to is Pamela Anderson and John Peters. We knew that their marriage had broken up, right? That was last week we had talked about that.
Right.
But now we have way more detail about it in the form of text messaging.
Oh, I didn't see the texts, but I did hear that's how she was broken up. After a 12-day marriage, she got dumped via text.
12 days, of which they saw each other, I think, 4 days. And the reason they got married so quick is, and tell me how Pamela Anderson this is. She had just spent a month in India on some kind of cleanse and decided to come back to America fresh from this cleanse, which I'm sure involved a lot of diarrhea. I don't know why. Whenever I hear cleanse, I just think she just had a bunch of diarrhea. So while she was in India, you know, diarrheaing it up, she reached out to this John Peters, who she had dated 30 years earlier.
Oh, so he was already in line.
Yeah, no, he was at the front of the line, which is why she contacted him to have lunch. And over the course of the lunch, that's when they decided to get married. But then she went back to Canada where she lives, and he's like, boy, what a mistake this was, getting married to Pamela Anderson. And so that's when did you read the text, Drew?
I didn't see the text.
Oh my God. Oh, this is great. They were never really together. I was just saying she came back from a cleanse from India, and that's when they got married.
She sounds like the girl in 90 Day.
She sounds like Pamela. The girl in 90 Day.
Got to get the cleanse, and then we'll get married.
Sounds like Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, it does.
Here's his text. And by the way, this is one long string. Dear Pammy, these past 9 days have been a beautiful, amazing love fest. So basically he got in for a retap, right?
Yeah, he retapped a few times, and then that one time when it wasn't as good as the first 18 times, yeah, because, you know, it's familiar territory, mm-hmm, and he just refracted, and all of a sudden he didn't want to be there anymore.
Apparently she needs to go for another cleanse because he defiled her.
Refraction is dangerous.
Very.
It is really dangerous because, I mean, there's a lot of truisms that come up in refraction.
What I've realized is that we are really good friends and have been for a very long time. This whole marriage thing and with lawyers and debt and shit has scared me. It made me realize that, you know, at 74, I need a simple, quiet life and not an international love affair.
Here's a translation. She's got financial problems.
Yeah, you know what? One of the quotes was trying to claim that she didn't want him taking her money. I'm like, she didn't have any money. She had a garage.
He has lots of money.
Yeah.
He was with Streisand. He cracks whatever barrier it takes to be with Streisand. Has some minimum net worth. Boyfriend.
Therefore, I think the best thing we can do is that I'm going to go away for a couple days, and maybe you need to go back up to Canada.
Fine. I don't ever want to see you again. Go away. I'm dating somebody else. I hate you.
He kicked her out of the country.
Wow.
You need to go back to country. We did it. The world knows we did it, and I think we need to go our own separate ways.
Well, the world, the world needed it?
Yeah.
What, the world? He was stuck at the front of the line, and it's like, God, when is the line going to move already?
I think he wanted to get out of line, respectfully.
And you know what Brandon pointed out, and I'd forgotten about this, he was in line.
Yeah.
He nailed her 30 years ago, yeah. Went to the back of the line, and got held up for a while.
Now he's at the back again.
I hope you forgive me, but between, and this is all edited out, I thought building an empire together would be fun, but I was wrong.
Well, there's not enough in her empire. But who's going to tap into her artistic? You remember he said that nobody had tapped in. That was when he was not refracting. I think he said that.
I thought building an empire together was going to be fun. I was wrong. I'm a simple guy who loves my kids. Now, I would like to point out, he loves his kids. He's talking about his kids. Don't you wonder how old his kids are? Because he's 74.
That'd be like 40, right?
My kids is listening to this.
I'm a simple guy who loves my kids. I don't want to fly back and forth to Canada. As beautiful as that place is, I don't like traveling. I'm sorry. I still want you to be in my movie.
That might be the only part that matters to her.
Kind of wondering what her motives are. I'm writing this for you. This will be an amazing breakthrough for you. I can love you by giving you a new career.
What? No, he can't give her a new career.
We need a
She's completely branded.
What's he making? Barbed Wire Part 2?
Maybe.
Stacked is returning.
Sharknado 10. We need a couple weeks to detune, then we can talk.
That means he's been, at his age, refraction could go on for days.
I mean, he could be
thinking straight for a long time. His sperm count's rebuilding, and then he's thinking, well, maybe when my sperm count's up again, I want to at least have a career for him, maybe tap once in a while.
It's funny looking at these, you can tell he's got an iPhone. He's the one that sent these pictures to Radar, too, because her name's at the top.
What?
So he's on the right of the conversation.
Really?
Yes. But this is all one long text, so instead of sending a bunch of different ones blowing up the phone, he says, I think that's a good move.
And she never got past the third line.
Well, she did, because there's a response. So remember, this is still going on.
Wow, this is fascinating.
I love you, JP. P.S.
Can you read it straight through again? Just one more time. Sure. I just want to hear how it sounds together.
So you can figure out when Pamela Anderson spaced out?
Kind of.
Dear Pammy, these past 9 days have been an amazing, beautiful love fest. What I've realized is that we are really good friends and have been for a very long time. This whole marriage thing with lawyers, debt, and shit has scared me.
Now she's gone now. She's gone. She's mad.
Well, although she still in her head has the movie. It made me realize that at 74, I need a simple, quiet life and not an international love affair. Therefore, I think the best thing we can do is that I'm going to go away for a couple days and maybe you need to go back up to Canada. We did it. The world knows we did it. I think now we need to go our own separate ways.
What does that mean, the world knows we did it? What does that mean?
The world knows
that he's in the back of the line again?
He's notifying all her exes that everybody in the line moves up one now, and he's going to the back.
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
I hope you forgive me, but between, and then three lines redacted, I thought building an empire together would be fun, but I was wrong. I'm a simple guy who loves my kids. I don't want to fly back and forth to Canada. As beautiful as that place is, I feel like, a little side note, do you think he knows he was going to send this out? Because why would he like basically say, hey, Canada's, you're great, Canada. Like, that's a weird thing to say to Pamela Anderson.
I don't think it's necessary.
Canada. As beautiful as that place is, I don't like traveling. I'm sorry. I still want you to be in my movie. I'm writing this for you.
That has to be.
He leaves it towards the end.
That is the biggest bloop comment. I still want you to be in my movie.
I'm writing
like,
this.
There's a consolation prize here.
He says, I'm writing this for you. This will be an amazing breakthrough.
Oh, his movie
for you.
Sucks. He's done. He's over.
I can love you by giving you a new career. We need a couple weeks.
That is so patronizing.
Incredibly patronizing. We need a couple weeks to detune. Then we can talk. I love you, JP. P.S. I have built a financial empire over the last 50 years that I left all to my kids. It's something that is very private and personal to me, mind you.
Oh.
He sent his text out.
Oh, wait. Okay. So they got married. It was impulsive.
Yeah. Then they never signed it, so they never officially were married.
But it was impulsive, and I bet you he might have put some sort of agreement in front of her, like, look, if we're going to make this official, you got to sign this prenup. My kids get all my money. You can have yours. You don't have shit, so that doesn't mean anything to me.
The thought of lawyers going through my business makes me want to throw up. I need a break, some time to think. I do love you, but I don't know how people get together when there's so much energy around the couple. I've been hiding for years. I hope that I can make a great movie and maybe even direct it. I want you to be in it. I'm going to make this great for you. As long as we are both grown up about this, we can turn this into an enormous opportunity for you. I love you, John. I want to be on your life forever. I think he means in. It kind of ruins it when he says on. But then again, that's a lot to proofread.
Okay.
So he sends that out. Whoop. And then he gets a reply at 5:19 p.m. I forgive you. Kissy emoji. That's all she wrote back.
She wants to be in the movie.
Wouldn't she say,
if she went piece by piece through it, then she might not be in the movie?
Wouldn't she say, I forgive you, I love you, can't wait to see the first version of the script? If those two kids can't make it work, who can make it work, right?
Obviously, there was something about lawyers having to discuss the prenup, and
yeah, she wanted her lawyers to go through all his finances.
That's hilarious. And he's
also. Brandon Lee said he gave it his full support. Why couldn't it work?
But if their finances are separate, it doesn't help her much. She could marry a swinging dick that's willing to share with her.
I guess. This is really bothering me. I got to find out how old his kids are.
Okay, he's 74, so without his money, you know, the kisses, you know, I forgive you, that might be okay, because she's like, hey, you're not giving me any money. I'm sacrificing 22 years, dick, so I'm going to nurse you to death, and then I get nothing for it? Fuck you, but I want to be in your movie, so kisses, happy emoji, whatever.
Hey, at least Anna Nicole Smith went in without a prenup. You know, she didn't need to go see Howard Marshall's finances.
Howard Marshall just didn't care. He just like, this hot chick likes me. I'm 89.
That was love. That was love.
His kids are 51, 31, 30.
That's why he can't travel. He needs to see his 30-year-old kid.
Why would she not live in L.A. near her kids? What? Isn't that kind of weird?
She likes Canada. She's from Canada.
Damn, his daughter Kaylee's hot.
Really?
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Wow.
And she's got a nice little nest egg.
Who's she dating?
Oh, it looks like Brody Jenner.
What?
Why is his dick around everybody? Man.
Doesn't Brody Jenner have enough cash already? I don't like these totally loaded people being with each other. There ought to be a law.
Thank you. I was just going to say, please pull up Brody Jenner instead of... Oh, that's Kaylee Peters.
Kaylee Peters has nailed Benji Madden. Sean Stewart and Stavros Nachos.
Oh, my God. Sean Stewart. Only the biggest losers let Sean Stewart nail him.
You mean
that's Rod Stewart's kid who does nothing. He's a zero.
I don't know. He's got a pretty hot team photo.
Yeah.
Wait. Well, he's Rod Stewart's kid.
Isn't he one that punched the security guard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Asshole.
No, he's a total asshole. He's a zero. He has no career. He's in rehab every 5 minutes.
Can you pull up Brody Jenner? Oh, thank you.
Sure.
He already was.
Brody. Wow. Oh, my God.
Oh, my man.
Get ready for this.
And then can you do how many degrees he separated from Caitlyn Jenner?
So he banged Kristen Cavallari, Lindsay Lohan, Nicole Richie, Lauren Conrad, Haley Duff,
what?
Paris Hilton, Cora Skinner. Wow.
Whoa,
Jade
man.
Jade Nicole, Avril Lavigne, Brianna Holly, Caitlin Carter.
Caitlin Carter is beautiful.
Jose Canseco's sexy daughter.
Josie Marie, yeah.
Allison Mason and Daniela Grace. Let's see if he has any connection. He won't have any connection to Caitlin.
Oh, you want to bet?
Yeah, we'll see.
Why not?
There's a lot of genitals in there. A lot of genitals in that team photo.
I don't even know how he's connected to her, but he's got to be.
A lot of genitals to connect.
Come on, man.
It's trying. It's thinking. And 6 degrees of separation.
Yes. Brian, what's the website, by the way? Because people are asking.
Who's dated who.com.
And if anybody wants to find a ridiculous degree of separations, please do it and send it to us so we can enjoy it.
So Brody Jenner banged Paris Hilton, who rode Adrian Grenier.
Adrian Grenier, man. He's got to have a great. Let's check his team photo after this.
He slammed Courtney Robertson.
Who's that?
Who nailed Ben Flagnick, who had sex with Kris Jenner, who had sex with Caitlyn Jenner.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is the second time Ben Flagnick came up.
Right. Well,
apparently he's the only one that's nailed Kris Jenner.
Oh, she's been with that Corey dude for a while.
That's true. But no, he's not.
I don't know who Corey's nailed.
You want to go through Adrian?
Yeah, Adrian Grenier's got to have a great team photo.
So he banged Melissa Joan Hart.
Wow, that's not bad.
Yeah, Melissa Keller, Paris Hilton, Courtney Robertson, Isabel Lucas.
Courtney Robinson, was she on The Bachelor? Did we interview her? Did she write a
book? She
looks
very familiar to me.
Emily Caldwell, Ashley Green, Courtney Six.
Oh, is that Nikki's daughter?
I believe so. Wow. Spelled the same way.
Yeah,
yes. Courtney Robertson is definitely from
The
Bachelor.
She was a good interview.
God.
She banged Ben Flagnick.
And Ari Leyendyke Jr., who was The Bachelor.
Wait, she banged him too?
Yeah.
How could she bang two Bachelors?
You know, same circles.
Can you check Paris Hilton's team photo? That's got to be sizable.
Does the internet have that much space?
boy.
There's so many.
Just go through it slowly. You don't have to scroll.
Slowly. We'll
start
be here
at the top.
A 4-hour show.
Carterium. Randy Spelling. I have a feeling he's related.
Randy Spelling? That's that loser brother of Tori's. You got to be kidding me.
It gets better. Edward Furlong.
Oh, boy. Have you seen him lately?
She banged Oscar De La Hoya.
When he wore his panties.
She banged Leo. She had sex with Rick Solomon, who hasn't.
We've seen that.
Jason Shaw.
It's One Night in Paris.
Tom Sizemore. Oh, that must have been a drunken night. She slept with
Joe Francis.
Vincent Gallo.
Oh, yikes.
Mark McGrath. Derek Whibley from Sum 41. Jack Osborne.
No!
Yep.
No, you got to be kidding me.
Nick Carter. Simon Rex. Chad Michael Murray. These are big names. Jake Sumner. Fred Durst.
Oh, God.
Lucas Babin. Chad Muska, the skateboarder. Some dude named Paris Castanacatatis. Val Kilmer?
That's an off night for Val.
Val Kilmer. Stavros And the trash rolls.
Scott Storch.
Scott Storch. Jose Theodore, the goaltender for the Canadiens.
Nice.
Oh, Brandon Davis.
Oh,
Greasy Bear.
What?
Travis Barker. James Neat. Chris Angel. Andy Roddick. Harry Andy Morton, Roddick. The Morton Steakhouse
guy.
Yeah,
the rich guy.
Kid Rock.
Didn't he just die?
Josh Henderson.
Wait, Kid
he
Rock
did.
Bagged
he did
Paris
die.
Hilton?
Yeah, sure.
Matt Leinart. James Blunt.
Life is brilliant.
Paris vagina.
My dad is dying.
Tyler Atkins. Adrian Grenier.
Of the Atkins diet.
DJ AM.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Alex Vago. Julian Fetzma. Brody Jenner. 50 Cent. Jared Leto. Benji Madden.
What?
Doug Reinhardt. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Wow.
Cy Waits. Todd Phillips, the director of Joker. Afrojack. River Vapari, Josh Upshaw, Jordan Barrett, don't know you, Thomas Gross.
I hope she's had some diva treatments.
Chris Zilka, Jack Whitehall. That's the 55 guys confirmed on whosdatingwho.com for
who
Paris.
Who don't we know about?
Fart
Paris is like a fart in a mitten. You know it's there, you can't stand it, but you can't get rid of it.
Wow.
So who is she embarrassed about?
Wow.
I mean, that's who we know.
None of them.
No, I mean, there's got to be people that she just was not public about at all. Because, oh, God, I don't want people to sat on this guy.
Fred Durst, probably.
Yeah.
Well, there's a few in there I'm sure she wishes.
Probably James Blunt.
We're publicly known. Hey, you know what I want to do? I think I want to save Gail King for tomorrow because that's a significant conversation.
I don't want Snoop Man in this either.
And
how dare you try to tarnish my motherfucking homeboy's reputation, punk motherfucker?
This is the story with every buzzword. Every PC sort of group ends up in the story. But I did want to mention the cameo story, which was the Vince Neil drunken cameo has gone viral.
Yeah.
Because some YouTuber, I guess, thought it was ridiculous that someone would pay $400 for a cameo.
It is.
Drunk
it is
Vince Neil. No, it's totally ridiculous. Stupid.
If he complained to Cameo, whoever bought that.
I don't think he did.
No, but if he did, could he get his money back?
Yeah, he probably could.
Because he's hammered?
Cameo's making a lot of money.
His name's Derek. Just remember that.
Derek. Okay. So Vince Neil, of course, is $400. So this is what you expect to get when you purchase a $400 cameo.
They're always quick.
From Vince Neil.
They're very generic.
Hey, Decker. This is Vince Neil. Hey, Decker. I want to say happy birthday, brother. This is actually from... Christian, Mom, Ethan, and Blake. So keep on rocking, Shad the Devil, and do some feel good stuff at four in big old 4-0, you man. All right, see you later.
Big old 4-0. Is that worse?
Do some feel good stuff at four in big old 4-0, you man.
Is that worse than happy 38th birthday?
Play another one. Just. Another recent one.
From
we haven't seen. Is there another one we haven't seen?
No, because...
There's got to be some we haven't
seen. He's got a bunch in a row.
He does them all the time.
Hey, Jim. Vince Neil here. Hey, buddy. Have a Miley Christmas and a happy crew year. And 2020 is an all new beginning. Yeah,
he hasn't done any in a long time because he's been working out so much.
Get in shape.
Vince Neil, maybe I'm being a stickler here, but... The fact that he killed Razzle from Hanoi Rocks in a drunk driving accident, and oh, were they apologetic in court, and oh, does the attorney go to the mess
for him family and back off
to say that Vince is getting treatment, he is not going to drink anymore. Now, I would think that would mean something.
Really set him straight.
I don't know if I expect him to be set straight. And of course, he's with a band that's partying their asses off, and they're passing cocaine over him on the plane. And we've heard a lot of crazy stories like that. But when Vince Neil shows up, as he did on Rockline when we were at Riff, and I remember we came in at 5 o'clock, and who was working overnight then?
Could have been
Scott
Meltdown.
Still then?
No, wasn't it before him?
Probably was.
97, 98.
Well, whoever was on overnights informed us that Vince Neil was off out of his mind on Rockline.
Yeah.
He was so bombed, he couldn't even speak. And he did try to speak a few times, and of course the whole room broke up laughing. Well, that wasn't that long after this guy had died in a drunk driving accident. And I thought, okay, if he still does party, which of course he did. We know he did. He probably never stopped. Wouldn't you at least publicly hold yourself together out of respect for this guy's family?
Yeah, he clearly couldn't.
No. But I don't think he cares because he never apologizes. I've never heard him say, you know, I feel really bad because I was involved in this accident and it cost this guy's life and alcohol played a huge role in it. And here I am bombed, laughing my ass off, or beating up a girl in Las Vegas drunk when Nick Cage collared him.
Oh, that's right. That's pretty bad when you need Nick Cage to keep you in check.
I don't know. It just makes me not like him. We interviewed him a few times, and I'd never thought he was a very likable person, but that just bugs me. I just feel like, couldn't you just get drunk and not when the cameras are around, maybe?
Yeah.
For respect. But Cameo is rocking, man.
I'm telling
you. New people on here. Stuttering John?
Stuttering John is?
No, I'm shocked that Stuttering John wasn't already on. $75 for Stuttering John.
Does he have any?
Does he, Brandon?
I haven't checked.
Paul Abdul, $75.
Really?
Cedric the Entertainer, $50.
Actually, I did see one on... this one was kind of interesting because it... We know the dude from... you know, who are these podcasts?
This podcast is just an abortion.
And he often just... talks about the, not only Stuttering John, but also Seamus.
Yeah.
So here's a cameo that Seamus bought for Carl.
What?
Carl, really?
Yeah.
Hey, Carl. How you doing? It's Stuttering John Melendez. Seamus asked me to do this for you.
He doesn't look well, does he?
Do the freaking podcast. Do it with Seamus, Carl. Don't be afraid. Now, I have a podcast, world famous. Of course, you heard about my president. My prank call to the president. That was all on my podcast.
Yeah.
And I know you want to do a good podcast about pop music.
No one listens to his podcast.
And you're deciding between Band Practice Pod or Kuzzaroo Cast. Here's my suggestion. Popcast. Popcast.
What's that?
If I was doing it, it would be Popcast.
What in the hell are you talking about?
Popcast.
Oh, boy. Does the guy spends hours on his podcast telling us how talented he is?
Yeah.
Try another one.
Wasn't he first trumpet?
That's right.
Hey! Happy 40th birthday, Marty Joyce, from your buddy Spies. Sorry it's not Pamela Anderson or Nicholas Cage.
Pamela Anderson?
Or whatever the hell I said in my
audition.
Does he
look big?
Yeah, he does.
Anyway.
Looks different.
I hope nobody hit you like A.J. Benza did to me.
He looks bigger than two cameos ago.
He's a very successful, talented guy. Just ask him.
I know it's hard for some Stern fans to swallow.
I'm so glad Carl sent us his clip.
Maybe I do have talent, but I do. I'm sorry. And then you go, and then I moved on to trumpet, where I became an all-district trumpet player.
That's Carl's.
In second
That's
grade.
Carl's
Segways.
Segway sound. So yell at Carl.
Okay.
Not us.
All right.
I was playing with the fifth and sixth graders. I learned how to read music in second grade. You know, and then you know, I was in chorus in all-district. I had a solo every year. You know, and it's just you know, for him to say something like that, and I was never a comedian. Well, Artie, I was. You know, I was making comedy films as soon as I got my first Super 8 millimeter camera when I was in freaking fourth grade.
Doesn't mean he's a stand-up.
And, you know, I was making sketch in junior high in sixth grade. You know, and we got an A on it. It was called The Smothered
Brother. Sounds like a great one.
I was never an actor. I was the star of the show in the Little Carrot Scene. I know it sounds crazy.
Well, the Little
Why
Carrot Scene.
Why am I defending
scene?
Myself? But in first grade, and it got aired on public television.
That's his acting credit.
You know, they put it on TV.
And
I was in first grade, and I knew all the lines. I would give the other actors their lines in case they forgot while we were on stage.
Sounds like some good actors you're working with.
Well, good for you.
Good God.
How can anybody listening to that not just think?
Well, good for you.
Who else is new on there?
Ric Flair, $500. Dick Van Dyke, $500.
Dick Van Dyke's alive?
Yes. I know. That's the first thing I thought.
Wouldn't that be great to buy one every month from just where he says, Dick Van Dyke and I'm still alive? Here.
I don't know. He's actually very selective on what he will...
What?
Actually, he has a big caveat that says, boop, boop, boop.
Oh, he looks great.
Dick will not endorse any product or company.
He looks wonderful.
I'm amazed that...
This is like a day over Kirk Douglas.
I'm amazed that these people do endorse the stuff they do. It's like they just read the script. They have no concern whatsoever.
True.
I know.
True. That's the picture they used.
I'm Dick Van Dyke, the older version. You know, I'm with Cameo now. So if you'd like me to send a message to a friend...
You sound like Sean Connery, but without the
action. Goodbye. Happy birthday, happy Valentine's Day. Or, you know, maybe just good wishes. Tell them you're thinking of it. Tell me what you want me to say, and I'll do it.
Oh, poor. That's sad. That's just sad.
He was on Gilbert Gottfried's podcast.
He's funny.
He was sharp as hell.
Yeah.
I was amazed. Paula Deen, $100.
Oh, will she say the N-word?
Probably.
Did you think that was funny they used her clip in the Michael Vick Part 2 documentary?
That was very strange.
Really weird about celebrities that fall and apologize and come back. They had a whole string of clips, and it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Paula Deen's N-word thing. Thanks for reminding me, documentary.
Yeah, there were what other apologies were on there? There were some big ones.
There's a whole list. I don't even remember. There's a whole list of them. That one stood out, though, because that was the one I didn't remember.
Okay, usually when I see a list of new cameos, I tend to go, oh, God, that career is hurting that bad because... This is an income generator.
Yeah.
It is. These people make... But I'm still surprised because it seems like it's a big step to go, you know, I could use that cameo money.
Mm-hmm.
It's...
I could if I wish I could generate some cameos.
I mean, look at Brian Austin Green, for God's sake. He's so miserable doing them because he hates the fact that he's doing it money.
Maybe they just like any extra dollar they can get, and I understand that.
Well, that's a revenue stream.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect to see... Michael Madsen on Cameo?
Oh, sounds like a great one.
Well, what's Madsen? He hasn't been in anything.
That's what I mean. I think it's a revenue stream.
Yeah.
He's probably trying to hang on to it.
Yeah, good for
you.
Well,
good for you.
He's in The Hateful Eight, but...
I haven't seen Michael Madsen in a big project in a while.
Not since The Hateful Eight, at least.
Can we play a Michael Madsen cameo? That's a curiosity to me. Maybe he does a great job.
He had a cameo in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He was the sheriff, apparently. No, I don't remember seeing him. Maybe he got cut out.
You say it, bro.
Maybe that's how they got him to join the cameo family. Because I said, hey, you had that cameo there.
It's a good connection.
A couple called Cameo.
We should send that idea to Cameo in case they aren't using that. Because they'll do anything to get people in the Cameo family.
Yeah.
And ushering someone into the Cameo family with a cameo appearance is perfect.
Hey, Robert. Thanks for your call. I can't do the Mr. Blonde dance. That's not on the menu.
I want my money back.
I could read you a poem, and it's from this book, Blessing of the Hounds.
What?
Okay?
Pause it.
We've done this before.
What book?
So somebody wants him to do the dance from Reservoir Dogs, and he says, oh, it's not on the menu. I'm not going to do it. So instead, he offers to read a poem from his book that he wrote.
Oh, he's got a book, too?
Be gentle.
I didn't know that.
Of poetry. That's why no one knows.
Boring.
Going to Lake Piru. I'm trying to sleep.
Okay, can you play the one on the left, please?
Robert,
get him out of here!
Where he's in the pool. There, here we go. So he is $200. Here's the best 37 seconds $200 can buy.
Huh. Good morning, Christy. I want to wish you a happy birthday on Valentine's Day. Remember, Valentine's Day was your birthday, so...
He doesn't sound so good, does he?
40, clear your throat. And,
he doesn't look so good.
This is a happy birthday from Michael Madsen, Mr. Blonde. Happy birthday, and happy Valentine's Day. He's out here taking a swim in beautiful Malibu, California.
Wow. Good for you.
And these cameos might keep me in Malibu.
Hey, is he like in an apartment building complex? Is that like the community pool?
Oh, I hope not.
No, I think he's just got it looks like a small backyard, but the entire backyard is a pool. So,
well, I'm not talking about the one on the right, the one on the left, though.
Looks the same.
That's
looks
his
same.
House. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, Tony Gonzalez, $200.
What?
Isaiah Thomas is on Cameo.
Doesn't any of that Tony Gonzalez money go to Lauren Sanchez?
Yeah, some of it, you're right.
She needs it now.
Isaiah Thomas, $222.
Oh, please.
Mia Hamm, $125.
Are you going to give advice how to throw your daughter under the bus?
Possibly. That might be an option. For $222, you might do it.
Oh, Isaiah.
Dontrell Willis.
Really?
Is
cool.
Part of the Cameo
like
family.
He's a great guy.
He was a good guy.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that last $27 million contract the Tigers gave him, do you think that's gone by the wayside? I hope not.
No, he just likes being part of the Cameo family.
$25.
Yeah, see, he just likes doing them.
And finally, Tia Carrera.
Whoa, boy.
We'll make a cameo for you for $50. You want to hit the outro, Brandon? This is a long show.
Can she do better on Snapchat Premium? Or is she not looking so good?
I don't know.
She was hot.
Yeah, she was. I don't think, you know, I think I saw her recently and she didn't.
Pull up her cameo. Let's see how
like
she looks.
Like the Tia Carrera that I was used to.
Ooh, she looks rough. Oh, wait, that was Madsen.
Like us on Facebook. Rate us on Facebook. Thank you very much to all the people who have given us a nice rating on iTunes.
Yeah, very cool.
Very nice. Somebody gave us 2 stars, by the way. Thanks a lot, Dick.
Why are y'all attacking us?
Because we have too many drops.
Sorry.
Respect the family and back off.
So I wish they would rate you guys separately.
How dare you try to tarnish my motherfucking homeboy's reputation, punk motherfucker?
You saying Brandon should have got the 1 star, Drew got the 5 star?
It seems like.
Okay.
Oh, maybe you guys both got 1 star and I got 5.
That's probably
average
right.
Average out to about 2 3/4. Okay, maybe I only got 4.
You need to leave.
Did you see Cindy Crawford's son got a face tattoo?
Looks great.
It does. I think I'm going to get it myself. I'm predicting face tattoos will be fairly normal within a couple years.
If you have,
I think we're getting there.
If you had Cindy Crawford, Randy Gerber inheritance money, you can just put whatever you want on your body.
He's a model for IMG.
Okay, great.
Wouldn't you think IMG? I don't know. Don't most models not have a ton of green blobs?
Maybe he's an alternative model. It's good.
Yeah,
for
I guess there's a green blob modeling agency somewhere.
Well, good for you.
All right, we'll catch you tomorrow with all the Oscars and Razzies and whatnot. And then some. And Gail King, too.
Neither team has been able to breach the goal line. They get into the red zone and put points up on the board. If you like fat people making love, this is perfect because they're just rolling around. They just can't stick it in.
The XFL. It's real football featuring players with real nicknames.
Oh, he hate me.
He hate me.
He's the
star.
Most famous he hate me in the world.
He is a big star.
I'll tell you what, he's a great player.
See it. Hear it. Feel it. The XFL.
I talked to Terry Bowles before the game, and he and I have something in common. He collects Beanie Babies.
Yeah.
You won't believe the outrageous fan interviews during the game.
Hey, are you guys having fun today?
Yeah.
Do you agree with Coach Skipper's halftime speech where he said that the demons had him and then let him back up?
Absolutely. You got him down, keep him down.
We'll even talk to players live right after they... up.
Jose, that was huge for your team to miss that field goal. Can you come back strong?
I mean, I'll just kick it straight to the right. And I'll be back.
And the XFL has the bitches.
It's a ta-ta timeout.
Masturbate to the skankiest mic cheerleaders in sports history.
How about poochin' one?
And only in the XFL do we open up so many microphones simultaneously, nobody knows when the they're on.
Get the Memphis card. Hey, John, I'm sorry I f***ed you on that other one.
The XFL. Giving you the most disjointed, overmodulated commentary you've only dreamed of.
Jim Skipper, you ended up telling him I really want you to come back and play. What kind of player he was in New Orleans when you coached him down there. He's a rookie of the year.
See it, feel it, hear it. The XFL, Saturday nights on NBC and Sunday on UPN.
As Rashall in motion, Sheehy, Wendell Davis, Maddox, James Hunden, Jimmy the Jet, Cunningham, Del McGee, Chris Fuamatu Ma'afa.
Ooh, babe, that's this lip smacking good.
XFL.
The confrontation that you had last week with Rusty Tillman has got everybody talking.
If you think the XFL is dead, talk to one of the 349 people who watched it last week on NBC.
Darrell Sutton makes the play and runs it all the way back.
Why do these people love the XFL? Maybe it's the league's fledging superstars.
Al Luganville, Kirby Dardar, and Butler by Note, Sola Davis, Rashawn Sheehy, Latario Rochelle, Twaby Settles, Anthony DeCosmo, Leo Aragus.
Maybe it's because we changed the rules when we feel like it.
There is no bump and run rule. It's been removed.
Maybe it's the crazy ass nicknames.
They knew when I got the ball, I became the Chuck Wagon.
Or maybe it's the ballsy commentary from players during the game.
Yeah, we need instant replay in the XFL because they can't see. Period.
And only in the XFL will you find players that will say hi to female genitalia during the game.
What's up, Boosie?
And speaking of, this week the XFL mics the cheerleaders' crotches, and you might even see some of that stuff.
Are we really going into the loss of the cheerleader locker room next week down in Orlando?
Don't miss it. Football and pussy on the XFL.
A lot of courage. We'll get into the Joe Aska story as this game progresses.
And he's tough.